You just can't perform as you normally could.
All right, now, across the NBC radio network, let's pause 10 seconds for station identification.
World news, local news, sports news.
I would like right now to put, we've kicked it around, we've talked about it, you've read about it. As I said when we came on the air, almost everything that can be said has been said, everything that can be written has been written. First, we will talk with Pat Summerall. Would you give us your prediction?
I have seen the Colts 6 times this year, Charlie. In those 6 games, I've seen them give up just 2 touchdowns, those to the Minnesota Vikings in the Western Division playoff game. They're an awfully strong defensive unit. They're an awfully strong offensive unit that is capable of controlling the game. I've been in football now 19 years. 19 of those years have been in the NFL. So I'm going to say Baltimore Colts by, like a score of 35-10.
All right, Pat, I'm writing this down now. 35-10, we will check. George?
Well, I have seen the Colts a couple of times this year, and they have impressed me, truthfully, as one of the greatest teams ever to play football, I think. They have great balance, their offense and defense. They definitely are overwhelming favorites in today's game, and I think I have to go along with that. I would pick the Colts. I think the Colts could win by a large score here today. On the other hand, I think the Jets could win the game, but if the Jets win, I think it will be a close ball game and not necessarily a high-scoring contest, perhaps 14-10, something such as that. So I think either the Colts could win big today or the Jets could win in a close one.
All right, I'm going to hedge on mine. I have 2 predictions. And my prediction really hedges on who scores the first touchdown. If Baltimore scores first, I predict the Colts will win by a score of 35-17. Are you ready for the second one?
Go ahead.
If the Jets score first, I pick New York to win 41-31.
You really think New York will score 41 points on the Colts defense?
It all depends upon what happens on the first touchdown.
I think that's an excellent point. I think both teams, I think, quite frankly, in talking to the Baltimore players before the game, are a little bit unsure of the other people. I think they really don't know. They're sort of an unknown quantity. I think that same aura has to be present on the Jets squad. How good is Baltimore? What are these people we've been reading about all this time? And I think the same thing is very true on the Colts side. And if Baltimore should score first, I think a wave might take over the Jet bench. That, by golly, they are pretty good. They are pretty tough, and I'm afraid that might hurt, and what you say might happen.
Charlie, I'd like to ask Pat a brief question here. Joe Namath has a reputation of being not only a very fine passer, but an excellent quarterback. He calls plays well and reads defenses exceptionally well. On the other hand, the Baltimore Colts have a reputation of being able to disguise their defenses very well. In fact, I hear they try to confuse the quarterback by indicating they're going into a certain defense and then pulling out of it at the last moment. Exactly how do they do that? Putting their linebackers up in the line when they're not going to blitz, things such as that?
That is exactly right. Not only do they do it with linebackers, George and Charlie, they'll bring the 2 safety men, Rick Volk and Jerry Logan, up in the line of scrimmage, and it'll be a 9-2. That's exactly what it looks like, and it looks like you can throw deep against them almost any time you want to. And then just at the last minute, they'll back out.
But when they're doing that, they're trying to fool the quarterback and get him to check off into the play they want him to check off into. Is that
correct? Exactly right. One of Don Shula's philosophies is, if we can make you automatic, we're making you do what you didn't want to do in the first place. We've made you take a second-choice play.
We're only moments away from all of the pregame pageantry that we will be having here at the Super Bowl. And a quick check of the weather showing the temperature to be 72 degrees, and it is overcast. And from an unseasoned Miami eye, I would suspect a strong possibility of rain. However, the Weather Bureau says there will be no rain today. As most of you know, there has been rain in the Miami area. It did rain last night. It stopped around 10 or 11 o'clock last night. It was very clear this morning, not early, a little mist and a little fog this morning. But then it cleared around 9 o'clock this morning and was clear up until almost noon. And then all of a sudden the clouds started to come in again. A little on the cool side, not cold, but just a little on the cool side, and we will have a breeze. It has been estimated between 15 and 20 miles an hour. Now, the possibility of the breeze here, although is predicted to come out of the northwest, which would be from our left, the open end of the Orange Bowl, is to our right. So we may have that swirling effect that we have for example, in many stadiums, like Shea Stadium is a good example of which you can, for a field goal kicker, you can be kicking into wins from both sides. George?
I think Namath is used to playing in a breeze. As you mentioned, this happens up in Shea Stadium. And on top of that, he throws a very fine spiral, which is important when you get into a windy day. Some passers throw more of a wobbly football, other ones a fine spiral. Namath gets a fine spiral on the ball, and a passer such as that is normally not bothered as much on a windy day as somebody who throws a ball that has a bit of a wobble in it.
The pregame pageantry is underway, so let's listen. The Mass band's playing Mr. Touchdown, and the PA announcer is Bob Gallagher. On the field and part of the pageantry. Down to our left, looking like a giant cake, with football streaming out from each side, representing the teams in the American Football League and the National Football League, is now the three astronauts from Apollo 8, Bill Anders, Frank Borman, and Jim Lovell. Are at the 50-yard line, and Frank Borman will lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance.
Anthem. To lead us in the pledge, Frank Borman, Jim Lovell, and Bill Anders, the Apollo 8 astronauts.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
And now our national anthem.
Trumpeter of the Washington Symphony Orchestra with the national anthem. We'll be set for the kickoff in just a moment.
This is Joe Garagiola with a question for you veterans. You got any doubts about your future? Then move into the field of the future, computers. Soon everything's going to be computerized, and it's starting now with 200,000 job openings for our computer programmers, the guys who make $10, $12, $15,000 a year and more giving instructions to the computer. Now, to learn computer programming, all you need is a high school education, and you learn right in your own home in your spare time with the American Computer Institute, approved for veteran training. A special teaching process makes the learning faster and easier than you'd imagine. Get the American Computer Institute's free booklet and aptitude test. In New York, call now, OR7-1700. That's OR7-1700. Or write Computer, WNBC Radio, New York 10020. That's Computer, WNBC Radio, New York.
This broadcast is presented by authority of the American and National Football Leagues. It is intended for the private use of our audience. Any rebroadcast or other use of this broadcast without the express written consent of the American and National Football Leagues is prohibited. Just a moment, we will have the introduction of the starting lineups. We have, as you know, there is always the toss of the coin 30 minutes before the game starts, and then a simulation for the people in the stands at almost any professional football game, and we do not know who won the toss. Don Shula of the Baltimore Colts, as did Weeb Eubank of the New York Jets, state that if they won the toss, they would elect to receive. And the way the introductions will be is that the team that will be receiving, their offensive lineup will be introduced, and the team that is kicking off, their defensive lineup will be introduced, so that at least by that time, or in just about a moment away, we will be able to tell who did win the toss. And I'm wondering, while we're waiting for the introduction of the players, George, how important is it to win the toss?
Oh, I think it's important. You like to have the football. You like to have the first crack at scoring in the game to show what you can do. Frankly, though, as an offensive player in games when I was playing the first-string quarterback, and I preferred not to receive the ball. I like to stand on the sidelines for a few minutes and see what the other team could do. So I guess this will vary with football players, but I think most coaches, anyway, when you get to that level, you like to have the ball first to see if you can possibly get some points on the scoreboard before the other team can even have the ball.
Beth? If you win the toss, I think almost every coach of football, with a possible few exceptions, would like to have the ball. First of all, it looks like you believe in what you've done during the week. It looks like you've got some confidence in your offensive unit. I think it's sort of a defeatist attitude to begin with if you win the toss and then kick off and give the other team the first crack.
One small sidelight on Frank Borman, who was honored at a dinner along with the other two astronauts in New York, that Frank actually was telling us, because there was a party for the astronauts that Bud Adams, the owner of the Houston Oilers, gave last night in Fort Lauderdale. And Frank made the statement that when they were on the dais, I believe the first state dinner that Rockefeller had given, I don't know in how many years, in the state of New York, and he said, and we're up on the top of the dais, and said, everybody is staring up at us except for our wives. And so they were all staring down into the audience, and they were trying to find Frank Sinatra in the audience.
Charlie, I'd have to say, from the looks of introductions now, the Jet players who are just about to be introduced, it's going to be, is it the offensive unit or the defense?
No, it's the defensive unit. Jerry Philbin, the defensive left end. So this means that the Jets will be kicking off, and the Baltimore Colts will be receiving. Paul Rochester, the defensive left tackle at 6'2", 220 pounds from Michigan State, followed by John Elliott from the University of Texas, 6'4", 249 pounds. The defensive right end is Verlin Big, 6'4", 268 pounds from Jackson State. The left linebacker is Ralph Baker, 6'3", 235 pounds from Penn State. The middle linebacker is Al Atkinson, 6'2", 230 pounds from Villanova. And one of the original New York Jets, Larry Grantham, the right linebacker, 6 feet even, 212 pounds, played his collegiate ball at Ole Miss. Randy Beverly, on the defensive right corner, 5'11", 198. Also in the secondary will be Bill Baird at right safety at 5'10", 180 pounds from San Francisco State. Jim Hudson from the University of Texas at left safety, 6'2", 210 pounds. And Johnny Sample, formerly with the Baltimore Colts. He played with them under then-coach Weeb Eubank at Baltimore, and he played with them in their two World Championships. John Sample, 6'1", 204 pounds, played his collegiate ball at Maryland State. The head coach of the New York Jets is Weave Eubanks. And now Baltimore is also introducing their defensive unit. So we do not learn who won the toss of the coin. Bubba Smith, his second year from Michigan State at defensive left end. Billy Ray Smith from Arkansas, 10-year veteran left tackle. Fred Miller, defensive right tackle from LSU. Right end is Ordell Bracy from South Dakota. At left linebacker is Mike Curtis from Duke. The middle linebacker is Dennis Gaubatz from LSU. The right linebacker is Don Shinnick from UCLA. On the left corner will be Bob Boyd from Oklahoma. On the right corner, Lenny Lyles from Louisville, the school of John Unitas. At left safety will be Jerry Logan from West Texas State. And at right safety, Rich Folk of Michigan.
Charlie, I'm told from some other observers here in the press box that the Jets did win the toss. So without doubt, they will be receiving. We were told that whichever team kicked off would introduce their defensive unit, and whoever had the ball first would introduce their offensive unit. So I guess we'll still have to wait and see what's official, but I'm told that the Jets did win the toss.
Well, they always change plans. So.
I didn't think you could change that.
The officials, the referee is Tom Bell, the umpire, Tom Bell from the NFL, the umpire is Walt Parker from the AFL, the head linesman is George Murphy from the NFL, the line judge is Cal Lepore from the AFL, the back judge is Jack Reeder from the AFL, and the field judge is Joe Gonzalez from the NFL. They are now meeting with Joe Namath, Johnny Sample, the co-captains of the New York Jets, Preston Pearson, John Unitas, and Lenny Lyles, the tri-captains of the Baltimore Colts. The Jets win the toss and elect to receive. Baltimore will be kicking off, and they will defend the north goal, which is the goal to our left. So the Jets, moving on offense in the first quarter, will be moving from right to left. The lights are on. It's a late start, of course. The time now, 3:15 at the Super Bowl in Miami, the third annual Super Bowl, the National Football League winning the first two. The Green Bay Packers missing their first Super Bowl, although the offensive center of the Baltimore Colts, Bill Curry, was the starting center for the Green Bay Packers in the first Super Bowl game, the Los Angeles Coliseum, against the Kansas City Chiefs. The deep men for the Jets on the kickoff will be Bake Turner and Earl Christie, and kicking off will be Lou Michaels. Michaels approaches the ball, and the Super Bowl is underway. Earl Christie, 1 yard deep in the end zone, to his right at the 10, the 15, three blockers out in front, across the 20, and down at the 23-yard line. Alex Hawkins makes the tackle for the Baltimore Colts, and Lou Michaels, the man who kicked off, also has an assist on the play. So New York has possession, first down, on their own 23-yard line, as Joe Namath starts at quarterback with Emerson Boozer and Matt Snell, the running backs. Going to the right side is Don Maynard, and splitting wide to the near side is George Sauer. And the Jets shift into an unbalanced line on the right and show a slot offense on the right side. Namath to Matt Snell, the remaining back. 3 yards to the 26-yard line. And George Raderman, I believe the first time that I have seen the New York Jets in an unbalanced line or in an offensive shift.
I have never seen it before. At least I have not seen it this year, and can't recall seeing it with them in other years. They took an awful long time up the line of scrimmage. Got a bit questionable whether they were going to get the playoff in time that time.
Again, Sauer is open to the near side, and Don Maynard is the flanker right. Pete Lammons, the tight end, is open a couple of steps on the right side. The running backs, Emerson Boozer and Matt Snell, are split. Joe Namath, the quarterback. Matt Snell, big hole on the near side, outside the 30 to the 34-yard line, and a first down. As Rick Volk, defensive safety, makes the tackle. Pat, what are the problems caused the defense by the shift, the unbalanced line, and a quick, different look?
a very significant injury on that last play by the guy who made the tackle, Rick Volk. I'm not trying to evade your question, Charlie, but Volk is out of the game, and his place has been taken by number 37, Charlie Stooks. So this could hurt.
Let me correct you. I believe it's O.C. Austin.
You're right.
First down, New York, their own 34-yard line. No score, ball game just underway. Emerson Boozer. Boozer's in trouble. Dropped for a loss at the 30-yard line. As the outstanding Baltimore Colts defense drops him for a 4-yard loss, and it's Fred Miller, Ordell Bracy.
And if I may go back to your original question about the game by Matt Snell, this was an old play. A play that's been worked by a lot of teams successfully. It's called by a number of different names. It's where the offensive guard pulls, and nobody blocks the defensive tackle. It was Fred Miller. Bob Talamini pulled away from him. Miller followed him and left to just the natural hole.
Second and 13. Namath back to throw for the first time. Snell is open. Has him at the 35. He's down at the 40-yard line. A gain of 9 yards on the play. It'll be third down and 4.
Snell wide open on that play. Just a little dunk pass about 3-4 yards beyond the line of scrimmage, but nobody within about 5 yards of Snell when he caught the ball.
Bob Boyd and Jerry Logan making the tackle for the Baltimore Colts. 12 minutes, 16 seconds remaining in the first quarter. There is no score in the ballgame as George Sauer becomes the flanker on the near side, the left side of the field. And splitting wide to the right of the far side is Don Maynard. Third down, 4 yards to go. Draw. Snell. He'll lose a couple of yards on the play. Billy Ray Smith and Fred Miller.
Those are the crucial plays, Charlie. The third down situation there, the New York Jets had about third and 5, and we have to give them 0 for 1 now in the first chance they had to convert a crucial third down situation into a possible first down.
In the punting situation, it will be Curly Johnson with a 43.8-yard average for the New York Jets, and the deep back is Timmy Brown of the Baltimore Colts, and the up back is Jerry Logan. Low snap. High floater coming deep. Timmy Brown takes it to the 18-yard line and is dumped at the 23-yard line by Mark Smolinski. So Baltimore will move on offense now for the first time. Flag down back at the 42-yard line. The play will be brought back.
We've noticed after the last two plays, there seems to be quite a bit of conversation between these two teams down on the field. A bit of finger-pointing after the play is over, somebody accusing somebody in the other team of holding or doing something illegal, and that's happened after each of the last two plays now.
I believe the penalty is going to be offsides against Baltimore. That seems to be what's going on here. It was fourth down. It's going to be about fourth and 1, it appears to be, Charlie. So it'll give the Jets an opportunity if they choose to gamble. Fourth and very short yardage. It'll just give us an opportunity to look and see if they'll still punt or go for the first down.
I'm a bit surprised that they took the penalty there, Pat, because I doubt that they would gamble at this point at that position on the field on their own 43-yard line, fourth and 1 there. They had a pretty nice punt with practically no return, so I'm a little bit surprised that they took the penalty here.
And conversation still continues. Offsides against Baltimore. And it is fourth down and a yard for New York on their own 43-yard line. Curly Johnson again is in deep punt formation. Timmy Brown, the deep back, sets up at the 14-yard line. Curly Johnson gets a wobbly kickoff. Timmy Brown takes it again at the 18-yard line. He returns about 4 more yards than he did the last time out to the 27-yard line. And again, it is Mark Smolinski, who is the captain of the specialty team for the New York Jets, who made the tackle. So now we will see the Baltimore offense for the first time in the Super Bowl. Operating from their own 27-yard line, first and 10. 11 minutes, 1 second remaining in the first quarter. There is no score in the ballgame. Coming wide to this side is Willie Richardson. Jimmy Orr splits wide to the far side. Earl Morrill is the quarterback. A power eye offense with John Mackey in the eye, and now they shift as Mackey goes as the tight end to the far side. Morrill throwing on the first offensive play. He dumps it off to the left to Mackey, who will drop back. Mackey outside the 35 to the 40 and pulls his way through three Jet would-be tacklers to a first down at the 46-yard line, where Larry Grantham finally makes the tackle.
In discussing with Weeb Eubank how he would defense the Baltimore attack, he said almost everybody who plays against Baltimore would have to respect the tremendous strength of John Mackey. And this is a pretty good indication, I think, on the first play of how much he means to Baltimore.
Seemed to be an odd pattern, Pat. He dropped back as he would on a screen pass, but there was no screen, no blockers in front of him. He just dropped back all alone several yards behind the line of scrimmage. Have they done that earlier this year?
Several times, just to take advantage of his tremendous strength.
Alex Hawkins is now in the offensive lineup and is wide to this shot. They throw two flankers, the pitches to Tom Matte. Matte outside the 50 in the Jet territory and inside the New York 45 to the New York Jet 44-yard line. Ralph Baker, the left linebacker, making the tackle. And we will have a measurement, I believe, for the first down. It is that close as John Williams checks into the offensive set. And now he comes back out for Baltimore as the chains are out on the field. First down for the Colts. Two plays from offense. Two first downs.
The Colts that time were in an offensive set that we've seen them use quite a bit lately, Charlie. That is with Tom Mitchell and Mackey in the game at the same time. Two offensive tight ends to take advantage of their blocking ability.
Willie Richardson is now back in at the flanker. Orr goes to the far side, and Richardson goes into a slot on the left. No, he splits away. And Jimmy Orr becomes the wide flanker to the far side. Jerry Hill, the ball carrier, he breaks the tackle of Erlen Biggs, who's inside the 40 to the New York 36-yard line. Jim Hudson, the defensive safety, is the man who brought him down. They'll set the ball at the New York 37-yard line. A gain of 7, it will be second down and 3 yards to go. And we talked about the explosiveness of the Jets' offense, led by Joe Namath. But the Baltimore Colts, as Pat mentioned earlier, not known as an explosive offensive unit, but they certainly have been during the opening moments here in the first period. Or wide to this side, as is Willie Richardson and Tom Matte, as stacked up at the line of scrimmage. He's met by Paul Rochester, John Elliott, and Verlin Biggs. A gain of a yard to the 36. It'll be third down and 2 yards to go. And now for the first time in the ball game, Baltimore faces a third down situation. The Jets had one, and they failed to convert it. Tom Mitchell comes in at tight end, and Jimmy Orr comes out. So we'll again have the double tight end offense for the Baltimore Colts. Third down, 2 yards to go for the first down. 36-yard line of New York. Morrill to Matte has the first down as he dives to the 36-yard line. There was a fumble, but I believe the whistle had already sounded. Randy Beverly is the man who made the tackle and marked the ball at the 31-yard line, a gain of 5, and it's first down. Pat?
If you're interested in what seems to be a difference in anything that Baltimore has seen in the National Football League and something that the Jets might be doing a little bit differently, their linebackers seem to be deeper, farther off the line of scrimmage than the NFL linebackers play it, and they are not chucking. They are not holding up the tight end, John Mackey.
Jimmy Orr comes back in a split end. Tom Mitchell comes out. Orr's wide to the far side. Splitting to the near side is Richardson. The ball carries a fullback, Jerry Hill. And Jerry Philbin, a defensive left end, makes the tackle for a loss. Ralph Baker, the left linebacker, in for an assist, a loss of 3, back to the 34-yard line. It'll be second and 13. A defensive change for New York is Carl McAdams has replaced Paul Rochester, a defensive left tackle. Tom Mitchell comes in for Baltimore, and Jerry Hill, the fullback, has come out. Jimmy Orr goes wide to the far side. Willie Richardson is to this side. A double tight end. The remaining back is Tom Matte. Morrill back to throw. Looping one to Orr. It is incomplete. Jimmy Orr, the intended receiver, at the 17-yard line. And Randy Beverly was the man who was covering him.
Just an observation, Charlie, that Morrill's protection, that's the first straight dropback pass he's thrown of any consequence, one that might take a little time, and he had excellent pass protection that time.
Third down, 13 yards to go. The ball is at the New York 34-yard line. Now 7 minutes and 9 seconds remaining in the first period. There is no score. This drive started at the 27-yard line. Morrill. It is complete at the 19-yard line to the tight end, Tom Mitchell. He was dropped immediately by Bill Baird, but he will have the first down by a couple of yards. So for the second time in the ballgame, the Baltimore Colts in a third down situation have picked up the first down.
Nice pattern by Mitchell that time, and a nice pass by Morrill. He got it in there to him. The Jets seem to be a bit wary of the deep one, seem to be dropping off of these receivers, want to be extremely careful that nobody gets behind them. But, of course, he got far enough downfield then to just barely pick up the first down.
The ball is just inside the 20-yard line of New York. Baltimore controls first down. Morrill, pump fake to the right. He's being chased. Now he has time. He throws. Richardson incomplete. The 5-yard line. Morrill, a pump fake to his right, then looked back to his left as if he wanted to set a screen. Jim Hudson and Bill Baird were covering deep for New York. Then he had to sidestep an on-rushing New York Jet, throwing to Richardson, who I would figure then becomes like his third receiver. And he misconnected with him by a couple of yards.
I think that's absolutely correct, Charlie. He was looking to his left, I thought trying to find John Mackey. But the Jets did an excellent job of covering him, and he looked for his secondary receiver.
I think Richardson was so wide open over here, he got a little excited and hurried his pass. That's the reason he didn't get it to him, because he was nobody near him in the secondary.
Morrill back to throw, second and 10, strong rush. The pass is deflected and is incomplete at the 5-yard line. Tom Mitchell, the intended receiver at the 5-yard line. Johnny Sample was the man covering, so the ball remains just inside the 20-yard line. It'll now be third down and 10 yards to go. Six minutes, 14 seconds remaining in the first quarter. There is no score. The Jets have been on offense once. This is the first opportunity for Baltimore, moving from their own 27-yard line. Earl Morrill now has completed 2 out of 4 passes.
I don't know about you two fellas. I get the impression that the New York Jets are just a bit more nervous and jittery out there on the field in the early stages than the Baltimore Colts.
Third and 10. Morrill sets up in the pocket. He rushed. Steps away from one tackler. He would have been dropped for a loss. Scrambles back to the 19-yard line. Al Atkinson and Verlin Biggs had shots at him, but Morrill wiggled loose and got back just to the line of scrimmage, where it will be 4th and 10. And Lou Michaels, his field goal percentage was 64 during the season, 18 of 28, will be kicking from the 27-yard line. A 27-yard field goal attempt Bob Boyd is holding. The angle is from left to right at the hash mark at the 27. It is no good. It is off to the right. There's timeout on the field with the score, New York nothing and Baltimore nothing.
Cold. Stone cold. Slow, difficult starting can kill your car's battery. Cold. Stone cold. A rigid argument for wins friction proofing. Wins friction proofing added to your oil smooths and seals metal surfaces. Wins friction proofing makes starting easier, protects frigid metal parts before cold, gummy engine oil even gets moving. No need to warm up the engine before you take off. Friction proofing makes moving parts move easier. Friction proofing gets cold cars going faster, and it keeps them going. Wins friction proofing. The hot cup of coffee for your car on a cold, wintry morning.
From the Super Bowl, along with George Raderman and Pat Summerall, this is Charlie Jones. No score. New York Jets ball, first down their own 20-yard line, 5 minutes, 33 seconds remaining in the first quarter. Namath throws. It is incomplete at the 25-yard line. Matt Snell is intended receiver, and Dennis Gaubatz, the middle linebacker, was the man picking him up. It'll be second and 10. The ball's still at the 20-yard line. O.C. Austin is still replacing Rick Volk at defensive safety for the Colts. Pat, what effect will this have on the defense?
Volk, Austin is a good man, but Volk is one of the leaders of the Baltimore defensive unit. He is a very, very sure tackler. He's also one of the two deep men on their punt returns. He's a key member and a very important member of the Baltimore defensive unit.
Second and 10, New York's ball from their own 20-yard line. They show the slot offense to the right side with Maynard and Sauer to the right. And Namath is back to throw. Four-man rush for the Colts. Good time. Comes back to his tight end, Lamons. 22-yard line, and he is dropped by Lenny Lyles. A gain of a couple. It is now third down and 8 yards to go for New York.
Jets aren't reluctant to throw the ball. On the other hand, their passes have all been the short ones thus far. They don't seem to be willing to gamble on sending anybody deep, perhaps trying to figure out whether they can give Joe Namath enough time to throw the deep pass, but they've all been short ones thus far.
I noticed they put one of their better pass blockers now into their offensive backfield. Bill Mathis has taken Boozer's place.
Third down, 8. Namath drops back to throw. Four-man rush for the Colts. This pass is complete. First down to Bill Mathis, 35-yard line. Dennis Gaubatz, the middle linebacker, is the man who made the tackle. So New York now in third down situation has converted 1 of 2. The Colts have converted 2 of 3. And I receive the impression that New York is trying to establish first its passing game rather than to fool with a running game against the defense of Baltimore.
However, they're throwing an awful lot of passes to their running backs. We've heard a lot about Sauer, Maynard, Lamons, what great receivers, but most of the passes thus far have been to the running backs.
Jets ball, first down, their own 35-yard line. Just over 4 minutes remaining, first period. There is no score in the third annual Super Bowl game. Namath taking a lot of time. Now he comes back to throw. Four-man rush, throwing deep. Maynard does not get to it. A foot away at the 20-yard line as he got behind Jerry Logan. The Jets would have had 6 points.
This is the Baltimore zone that we've heard so much about. Normally, if they stayed in a man-to-man defense, Bobby Boyd would have taken Maynard deep. With the wide side of the field to work to, Maynard hung on the outside, and Namath hung the ball to the outside, and Logan just simply didn't get over there fast enough.
Seemed to be that more than being behind him. He was off, had the position on the sideline, and Logan was just too far away from him toward the middle of the field.
Blake Turner replaces Maynard, who takes a breather, and Rick Volk comes back into the secondary. O.C. Anderson comes out for Baltimore. Second and 10. Namath drops a quick one to Sauer at the 41-yard line. It's complete. A gain of 6 yards on the play. It'll be 3rd and 4, and Lenny Lyles, the defensive right corner, brought George down immediately at the 41-yard line.
And I believe that's 5 straight passes now that Namath has called.
I believe that's correct, George. It's the first time we've seen the Colts in any kind of blitz, and Namath showed us then that he knows how to read it pretty well, and he got the ball to his receiver, Sauer, very quickly.
Namath has completed 4 of 6. New York controlling on their own 41. Joe's back to throw. Wobbly pass is too tall. George Sauer, the intended receiver, and Joe overthrew him.
Really overthrew him. Joe was holding his hands up to his head, holding his helmet after that. I think obviously it slipped out of his fingers as he was throwing the ball.
You have to be impressed with the job of protecting that the Jet offensive line has done for Namath so far. He was rushed early one time, but since then they've picked up all of the stunts that Baltimore has thrown at them.
4th and 4, Curly Johnson to punt. Second time in the ball game, actually the third, but one was nullified by a penalty. Timmy Brown is the deep man. He's at the 20-yard line. And end over end kick. Brown takes it at the 21-yard line. Timmy to the left. Fakes in, goes out. 26. Picks up a key block at the 27-yard line. Outside the 40. And is racked up by Matt Snell at the 42-yard line.
A few people got hit on that play down there.
There's timeout on the field with the score. Baltimore nothing. And New York nothing. The Colts of the National Football League have an edge in the Super Bowl this year, no matter how the game comes out. The Colts have the advantage of an extra item of protective equipment. Along with the shoulder pads and all the rest, every Colt has a lip protector. And what's a lip protector? Chapstick lip balm. It was in every locker room in the NFL all season long to condition and protect the players' lips against the drying and cracking effects of wind and cold. And its special moisturizing ingredients will help keep their lips from drying and cracking here in sunny Miami. If Chapstick Lip Balm works for the Colts and the rest of the National Football League, it certainly will work for you. Pick up Chapstick Lip Balm soon, and don't take your lips anywhere without it. And here's another product from the marketers of Chapstick Lip Balm that you shouldn't be without: Chap-Ann's Hand Cream. Chap-Ann soothes and helps heal rough red hands in only 3 days, and it really works. 3 minutes, 5 seconds remaining in the first quarter. There is no score in the ballgame. The Jets have been on offense twice. They have been unable to move effectively, although they have moved some. Baltimore moving on offense now for the second time. They did move effectively. A 27-yard field goal by Lou Michaels was wide, and there is no score. The ball at the 42-yard line, Colts control. Morrow throwing. It is complete drop. John Mackey is tied in. And he was wide open at the 45-yard line.
The last time Baltimore had the ball, during the latter part of the drive, the Jets began to get a very good pass rush on Earl Morrow. One of the things that Don Shula, the head man of the Baltimore Colts, prides himself in is the fact that his team and his offensive unit particularly is able to make adjustments depending upon what the other defense is doing. Never on Monday, is one of Shula's sayings. Always on Sunday.
Jimmy Orr comes wide to this side, and Willie Richardson is also wide to this side, and the running backs are split, Jerry Hill and Tom Matte. Jerry Hill, the fullback. John Elliott is the first man to get to him, the defensive right tackle. They will set the ball at the 45-yard line, a gain of 3. And it will now be 3rd down and 7. This is the 4th time in the ball game that Baltimore has faced a 3rd down situation. Twice they have picked up the 1st down. The Jets have done it in 1 out of 3. Bob Vogel, Glenn Ressler, Bill Curry, Dan Sullivan, and Sam Ball, the offensive interior linemen from left to right for the Baltimore Colts. 3rd and 7. Morrow in the pocket, throwing deep. Willie Richardson knocked away by Johnny Sample at the 20-yard line. Sample played him perfectly. It will be 4th and 7, and Baltimore will be punting.
Couldn't help but notice also the fact that, in spite of the fact that that was a very deep pass, back with Sample was the linebacker on his side of the field, Ralph Baker, who was a good 40 yards downfield with him.
The deep men for the Jets will be Bill Baird and Earl Christie on the punt, and David Lee with a 39.5-yard average is booting for Baltimore. He hangs a high one. Comes down at the 20. A Colt roll inside the 10. They'll chase it inside the 5 where they're down it at the 3-yard line. Roy Hilton downs the ball at the 3-yard line. There's timeout on the field. With the score, Baltimore nothing and New York nothing. Chrysler Corporation cars have just won the most sensible competitive performance test among American car makers. It was the Union Pure Oil Performance Trials held at the Daytona International Speedway. And what's so sensible about that? Well, just this. 3 different Plymouth and 3 different Dodge models won 6 out of 9 places in fuel economy, acceleration, and brake competition. The tests were sanctioned and impartially supervised by NASCAR. Under their supervision, Plymouth and Dodge captured 6 out of 9 first places. That's quite a record. But it's what you'd expect from Chrysler Engineering. Because Chrysler engineers build cars with your needs in mind. Fuel economy, acceleration, braking. And Daytona proves it this year. Stop at your local Chrysler, Plymouth, or Dodge dealer tomorrow and buy yourself a Daytona winner. And the most valuable player in today's game, selected by Sport Magazine, will be given the hot Dodge Charger RT. So New York now has their backs to the wall. 1st down from their own 3-yard line. George?
And the last time they had the ball, they did nothing but pass. It'll be interesting to see if Namath continues to throw the ball this deep in his own territory. We do notice that Bill Mathis has once again replaced Emerson Boozer in their backfield.
That was a 52-yard punt by David Lee. That set the ball at the 3-yard line. Matt Snell over the right side, find the blocking of John Smith, Randy Rasmussen, and Dave Herman. Moves from the 3 to the 8-yard line. A gain of 5, it will be 2nd and 5, and Don Shinnick, the right linebacker, makes the tackle for the Baltimore Colts. 1 minute, 34 seconds remaining in the first period. There is no score in the ballgame. George Sauer comes wide to the near side. Don Maynard is the flanker to the right side. The quarterback is Joe Namath. On a delay, Snell to the right side is tripped at the 9, comes down at the 12. He should be about a yard shy of the first down as Dennis Gaubatz is the man who cinched the tackle for the Baltimore Colts after a gain of 4 yards. So it will now be third down and a yard to go. Some defensive changes as Lou Michaels comes in and Ron Porter coming into the ballgame. Shinnick comes out and Bracey comes out for the Baltimore Colts. Why the change, Pat?
Michaels and Porter are supposed to be better against the run, which this situation would dictate. That's the reason for this change.
Third and one. Namath throws. Complete. Sauer has it, and the first down. There's a fumble. Baltimore recovers. Sauer fumbles the ball after he was hit. It is recovered at the 11-yard line. Mark it at the 12-yard line.
Might say that Sauer was hit quite hard after he caught the ball, and that's not the first time. That's about the third or fourth time that he has really been cracked after he caught a short pass from Joe Namath.
Ron Porter recovered the fumble at the 12-yard line, and Baltimore has the first break of the ballgame. On New York's 12-yard line, first and 10, there is no score. 17 seconds remaining in the first period. Richardson and Orr are wide to the left. Earl Morrill is the quarterback. He gives to his fullback, Jerry Hill, and Hill is dropped for a yard loss. Jerry Philbin, Al Atkinson, making the tackle. As the gun sounds, that is the end of the first quarter with the score. Baltimore nothing, New York nothing.
Score gives you no outrageous promises. Score gives you good-looking hair. Score gives you no outrageous promises. Score gives you good-looking hair. He uses with water, it mixes with water. Score gives you good-looking hair. Score gives you no outrageous promises. Score gives you good-looking hair.
Score doesn't promise to make you an all-star athlete or to change your love life. It just gives you good-looking hair. Use Score and a little water. It keeps your hair in place without looking greasy. Score doesn't make outrageous promises. It just gives you good-looking hair.
You use it with water. It mixes with water. Score gives you good-looking hair. Score gives you no outrageous promises. Score gives you good-looking hair. Gives you good-looking score. Gives you good-looking hair. Gives you good-looking score. Gives you good.
Along with George Ratterman and Pat Summerall, this is Charlie Jones from the Super Bowl in Miami. As we will now be starting the second quarter, no score in the first quarter. The key play thus far has been the fumble recovery by Ron Porter of the fumble of George Sauer. A loss of a yard, and it is second and 11 at the New York 13-yard line. Baltimore, Jimmy Orr goes wide to the right side. Richardson is open on the right side. The running back shift as Jerry Hill comes over on the left wing and Tom Matte is the remaining back. The pitch is to Matte around the near side as running room inside the 10 to the 6-yard line. As the Colts setting strong to the right side, coming back weak with their running attack, and the key block would have to be by Jerry Hill, the fullback, moved over on the left wing. Tom Mitchell comes in and Jimmy Orr comes out. And the Colts will now operate with two tight ends, Bill Barrett and Randy Beverly, making the last tackle. A gain of 7. It is third down and 4 from the 6-yard line, Pat.
The Colts, as they've done many times before during the year, put Mitchell in situations like this, and it might be significant the fact that he caught only 6 passes during the regular season, but 4 of them for touchdowns.
Goes to Mitchell off of his shoulder pad. Intercepted by Randy Beverly. The Jets intercept in the end zone. And Pat, you call the play. He went to Tom Mitchell. He turned, I believe, just ricocheted off of his shoulder pad. Beverly, with a great recovery, turned around and took it over his shoulder for the interception.
That's a simple matter, I think, and I think George will agree that Morrill just threw that ball a little bit too hard.
too hard. Seemed as if Morrow got a bit excited. He felt that he had to drill the ball in, threw it too hard. It bounced up in the air, but a tremendously alert play by Beverly, who was able to recover, turn all the way around to make the interception.
So the second break of the ball game goes to the Jets. First down, New York on their own 20-yard line. Baltimore has threatened twice. They have failed to score. Matt Snell has just a yard on the left side behind the wedge blocking of Winston Hill and Bob Talamini. It'll be second and nine at the 21, and Fred Miller is the man who gets credited with the tackle along with Lenny Lyles.
It seems that the Jets have sort of established a pattern that when Boozer is in the game, for the most part, it's a running offense. And when Mathis comes in, either for protection or for receiving purposes, Namath puts it in the air. Now it's another passing situation with Boozer in there.
Second and nine. Maynard wide to this side. Sauer splits to the far side. Namath gives to Matt Snell. Snell over the left side, outside the 25 to the 27, 28-yard line, where Don Shinnick, the right linebacker, makes the tackle at the 28. It will now be third down and 2 yards to go. Rick Vogt, who was, I would assume, injured earlier and came out and was replaced by O.C. Austin, also had an assist on the play. As the Colts now with third and two will bring out Bracey and Shinnick, and Mike Goles and Ron Porter will come in. The same changes a moment ago resulted in the fumble by George Sauer and the recovery by Ron Porter. Third and two. Sauer to the far side. Maynard is the flanker to the near side. Matt Snell coming back to the other side has the first down. And meeting head-on with Lenny Lyles as he goes out of bounds at the 34-yard line. So a first down for New York at their own 34-yard line.
We can't tell whether Namath is checking plays at the line of scrimmage, whether he's changing his calls from the huddle, but the Jets certainly seem to take much more time up at the line of scrimmage in getting the play off than the Baltimore Colts. Several times this afternoon, it's become questionable whether they would get the play off or whether they perhaps would be called for using too much time before the snap of the ball.
Maynard to the right side, Sauer left. The running backs, Emerson Boozer and Matt Snell, and they're a split. The tight end is Pete Lammons. He is open on the right side. First down. Here's the draw. Snell again going to his left. Is around the corner. Lowers his head at the 44-yard line. Gives a load of Lenny Lyles and then goes out of bounds.
Either Snell or Lenny Lyles or both is going to have a headache here in a minute. That's the second time they hit head-on over there. And Snell seems inclined just to put his head down and butt right into it.
A first down at the 46-yard line. That's headache number 312. Just control at their own 46. Again, it is Maynard to this side. As Mathis has come in, Snell now has come out. The fake to Mathis. Namath throws into a crowd. It is deflected. Incomplete. It is broken up by Don Shinnick, the right linebacker. Sauer, the attended receiver, and the linebackers of the Colts certainly have a lot of depth, Ben.
Always in this Colt defense, the linebackers are, I guess you could have to say, the keys to their defensive success. They play a lot of zone defense, and the linebackers, to be able to execute a zone well, have to be very active. And Shinnick, as you may or may not know, is the all-time career leader in interceptions by a linebacker. He has intercepted 37 passes. He almost had another one.
Second and 10. New York controls from their own 46. No score in the ballgame. 12 minutes, 30 seconds remaining in the first half. Namath, strong rush on a blitz. The pass is complete to Bill Mathis. Mathis into Baltimore territory and out of bounds at the 48-yard line. A gain of six, and it was Mike Curtis, the left linebacker, who was blitzing and dumped Namath just as he made his release to Bill Mathis. It'll be third down and four. Bubba Smith and Bobby Boyd making the tackle at the 48-yard line of Baltimore. And that is one of the few times that we have seen the Colt linebackers coming.
I believe that's the second time. And again, Namath showed us that he will be a very difficult man to blitz because he has such a quick release and is able to pick up those receivers out of the backfield.
For the Colts, it's Bubba Smith, Billy Ray Smith, Fred Miller, and Ordell Bracey, the front four. Namath throwing deep. This one is complete. 34-yard line to George Sauer. And a first down at the Baltimore 34-yard line. Lenny Lyles makes the tackle. And I also receive the impression that the Jets are running to the defensive right and throwing to the defensive right or the offensive left.
Nice pass that time by Namath, because Lenny Lyles had his man pretty well covered. There just wasn't that much room in there, but Namath, again, with the quick release, got the ball to him in a hurry.
Matt Snell is back in at fullback. Bill Mathis comes out. First down, Baltimore, 34-yard line. Maynard is the flanker to the right side. Sauer splits left. Boozer and Snell the setbacks. Namath, two steps, quick passes. Almost picked off by Lyles. It's complete to Sauer. And George is wrestled out of bounds at the 23-yard line by Rick Boak and Lenny Lyles.
That is the aging part of the Baltimore defense where the Jets seem to be having success now. Lyles has been around 11 years, Brazy a long time, and Schenick 11 years as well. That's the place they've been running, and that's also the place they've been passing.
I believe Lyles was a little bit under the weather early in the week, wasn't he, with tonsillitis or something, and the Jets may have heard that, may have figured, well, he hasn't recovered his strength yet.
First down at the Baltimore 23-yard line. Emerson Boozer spinning to the 21, a gain of a couple. It'll be second down and 8 yards to go, and it's Don Schenick, along with Fred Miller, that make the tackle. The linebackers for the Colts are Mike Curtis on the left, Dennis Gorbatz in the middle, and Don Schenick on the right. Bobby Boyd and Lenny Lyles in the corners, Jerry Logan and Rick Volk at defensive safety. The offensive interior line for the New York Jets, Winston Hill, Bob Talamini, John Schmidt, Randy Rasmussen, and Dave Herman from left to right. Second and 8, Namath back to throw. Three men out on the pattern, he dumps it off the right side to Snell, it's complete. Inside the 10 of the 9-yard line, there's a fumble. And New York recovers a fumble at the 9-yard line of Baltimore. Dennis Gorbatz is the man who made the tackle. Just inside the 10, it will be first and goal to go.
And this is already a lot better football game than a lot of people thought it would be. I think the spread going into the game was generally supposed to be close to 18 points. Certainly doesn't look like the Jets are 18 points worse than the Baltimore Colts, or the Colts that much better.
One of the Jets made a comment when he came into the locker room with that point spread, we're worse than the college All-Stars. First and goal to go from the Baltimore 9. Namath spins, gives off to Snell. Snell to the 5, just inside the 5. It'll be second and goal to go. And Matt Snell, who has had a couple of so-so years after a great one 2 years ago, running with more authority in this ball game than we've seen all year. George?
He certainly has the authority from the way he's moving ahead, but he's a deceptive runner to watch. He almost seems to be running in slow motion sometimes. Not tremendous speed or anything, but the way some of the tacklers are bouncing back from him, why, he certainly is running with authority.
And Snell has already gained 49 yards in the ballgame on 10 carries. Snell carries again to the left. Touchdown, New York. And listen to this crowd. Scoring from 4.5 yards out, an 80-yard drive in 12 plays. Jim Turner will be attempting the point after, and Babe Parilli will be holding. 9 minutes, 3 seconds remaining in the first half. The snap to Parilli. The kick is up. It is good. Here's timeout on the field with the score, the New York Jets 7, the Baltimore Colts nothing.
This is Joe Garagiola with the answer for all you guys who feel trapped in a nothing job with a nothing future. Move into the field of the future, computers. Soon everything will be computerized. Right now there are 200,000 jobs for our computer programmers, the men who earn $10, $12, $15,000 a year and more by giving instructions to computers in easy-to-learn computer language. So if you're a high school graduate, the American Computer Institute will train you to become a computer programmer right in your own home in your spare time. A special training method makes learning easy, and in a short time, you'll be qualified for a high-paying, high-status position with a solid future. Get the American Computer Institute's free booklet and aptitude test. In New York, phone today, OR7-1700. That's OR7-1700. Or write computer, WNBC Radio, New York 10020. That's computer, WNBC Radio, New York.
I was just looking to see.
kickoff to Preston Pearson. He returns it to the 27-28-yard line where Bake Turner makes the tackle. Namath has completed 9 of 13 passes. Earl Morrill has completed 2 of 7 thus far. And, Pat, you were checking the record book.
This is the first time in Super Bowl history that an AFL team has ever led. Kansas City was never ahead of Green Bay, and Oakland was never ahead of the Packers here last year.
Baltimore has possession, first down on their own 28-yard line as Jimmy Orr goes wide to the far side. Richardson is also split to that side. Morrill fakes, steps back to throw. Good protection, lots of time. Lost a long one. It is incomplete. Willie Richardson, the intended receiver, actually he cut off his pattern at about the 40-yard line because he stepped out of bounds. And as you know, once you go out of bounds, you cannot return inbounds for the play. And the pass was overthrown. Johnny Sample and Bill Baird were over covering for the Jets. And if memory serves me correct, Morrill has thrown on every first down situation starting every drive that the Colts have had.
I had not thought of it, Charlie, but I believe you're right. That's the first time we've seen Morrill in any sort of a rollout. This is something that he's done in past games when the defensive unit was giving him some problems and they were having trouble protecting him. That's the first time we've seen him today.
Morrill seems to stay with his primary receiver a bit more than Namath. Pick out one man before the play starts and definitely throw the ball to him.
Morrill dumps this one back to Tom Matte on the near side. He gets away from Bill Baird down the sideline. New York territory out of bounds at the Jets' 42-yard line where Jim Hudson bumps him out of bounds. It'll now be a first down at the 42-yard line of New York. And across the radio network, we pause 10 seconds for station identification.
Phone ringing? It could be WNBC, Fortune phoning you. Find out how you can be a winner. Listen to WNBC, Radio 660 and WNBC FM, New York.
Baltimore mounting another drive. This one starting from their own 28-yard line. Now to the New York 42, first down. Earl Morrill, the quarterback. Earl feeds off to Jerry Hill, and Hill fights his way inside the 40. To the 39-yard line, a gain of 3. It will be second down and 7 yards to go. Jerry Philbin makes the tackle for the New York Jets. Carl McAdams had an assist on the play as McAdams goes out and Paul Rochester comes in to replace him. The running backs for Baltimore are Tom Matte and Jerry Hill. Matte has picked up 23 yards in 4 attempts on the ground thus far in the ballgame. Willie Richardson goes to the right side. Jimmy Orr comes to the near side. Second and 7. Matte coming back in motion. The feed is to Tom. He cuts back inside at the 40 to the 38-yard line. Picks up a yard on the play. It will be third down and 6, and Verlin Biggs makes the tackle.
Think he would have been a bit better off to stay wide. I believe the play was designed to go wide. He elected to cut back. Ran into a host of Jets at that point. I think he would have been a little better off to stay wide on the play.
McAdams comes in, a defensive left tackle. Rochester comes out as they continue to alternate.
Something else we might keep in mind, Matte was in motion just before the ball was snapped that time. We've seen Baltimore, as I said, a number of times, and 2 or 3 times. Matte has looked to throw the ball off of that same play, an option pass.
Third and 6. Morrill in the pocket. Release. It is incomplete. Baby rule complete and a fumble. It is incomplete. John Mackey, the intended receiver, he was hit by Johnny Sample. The ball bounced loose, but he never had possession. It will be 4th and 6. Lou Michaels with a field goal attempt. Bobby Boyd will be holding. Lou was wide on an attempt from 27 yards out. This one will be from 46 yards away. The boot is up. It is no good. It is off to the right side, and the Jets will take over on their own 20-yard line. There's timeout on the field with the score. New York 7 and Baltimore nothing. The Union Pure Oil performance trials at Daytona are unlike any other performance test for cars. You don't win for speed. There aren't any track records to set. Cars are the winners, not the drivers. And what's so special about Daytona then? Just this. At Daytona, cars compete in the most sensible, practical test around. Fuel economy, acceleration, braking. And this year, three different Plymouths and three different Dodge models won 6 out of 9 of these events at Daytona. That's quite a record. But it shouldn't surprise you because Chrysler engineers have worked to win in fuel economy, acceleration, and braking. The sensible things you look for in your test car. It all adds up to something called value. And this year's results from Daytona prove that Chrysler cars have value. Stop by your Chrysler Plymouth or Dodge dealers tomorrow and buy yourself a champion. This is Charlie Jones with George Raderman and Pat Summerall, the Super Bowl in Miami. Now with 6 minutes 37 seconds remaining in the first half, the Jets lead it by a score of 7-0, and they control first down at their own 20-yard line. Bill Mathis and Emerson Boozer are now the setbacks. Joe Namath is the quarterback. Boozer, the ball carrier, and he has to fight his way for 1 yard to the 21-yard line. He was coming to the right side, where he met Bubba Smith and Billy Ray Smith, tried to spin out of their arms. He was greeted by Dennis Gaubatz and Fred Miller at the 21. So it'll be second down and 9 yards to go. Winston Hill is the offensive left tackle. Bob Talamini at left guard. John Schmidt is the center. Randy Rasmussen at right guard. And Dave Herman is the offensive right tackle, with Pete Lammons the tight end for New York. Maynard comes to the near side. And Sauer is the split end left. Second and 9. New York moving from our left to our right. Overcast day. The temperature 72 degrees. Namath pump faked and releases deep. Sauer, great catch at the 45-yard line into Baltimore territory. And out of bounds at the Baltimore 43-yard line. Lenny Lyles was the man chasing him. Namath with a pump fake, and he just looked one, and Sauer barely got to it.
Pump fake and a great indication of Namath's ability as a passer, because he had to throw that ball backing away, but still led Sauer perfectly, and that's not an easy thing to do. Just like a baseball pitcher, it's much easier for a passer if he can establish his foot to step into the toss, but that time he was actually backing away from the line of scrimmage and still threw it out there just perfectly.
And again, Baltimore on a blitz, and all three times they blitzed the linebacker, Namath has been able to burn him with a pass completion.
Matt Snell is now in, along with Emerson Boozer, the running backs, and Snell is the ball carrier. He fights his way inside the 40, where he breaks the tackle and moves to the 34-yard line. This will be close to the first down. Rick Volk makes the tackle, along with Lenny Lyles. And as Pat Summerall mentioned, they are working on the defensive right side, or the older side of the Colt defense. The chains will come on for a measurement. 5 minutes, 28 seconds remaining in the first half. The New York Jets lead it by a score of 7-0. Matt Snell scoring the touchdown from 4.5 yards out. An 80-yard drive for New York in 12 plays. Jim Turner adding the point after to make it 7-0. The chains are stretched, and New York is shy of the first down by just about the length of the football. So let's call it second down and a foot at the 34-yard line of Baltimore. Winston Hill laying the key block on the run by Matt Snell. The defensive front four of Baltimore: Bubba Smith, Billy Ray Smith, Fred Miller, Ordell Bergstein. Mike Curtis, Dennis Gaubatz, and Don Schenick are the linebackers. Bobby Boyd, Lenny Lyles on the corner, Jerry Logan, Rick Volk at defensive safety. Second down, a foot to go for the first down. This is an ideal passing situation. Snell burrows his way to the 32. And he has the first down. Don Schenick and Dennis Gaubatz make the tackle. One of the reasons I'm not a quarterback.
I think just an abstract observation is the fact that I have not seen anybody move the football this way against this Baltimore defense. That is, they've mixed it up. The Jets have mixed it up with the pass and the run. It looks like a rather controlled offense.
Namath back to throw. Three men out on the pad, and they're all deep. He loops this one to Maynard, and he overthrows it. Maynard was being picked up by Bobby Boyd, and it will be second down and 10 yards to go. The Colts pattern don't primarily as a zone secondary. Are they staying in the zone so far?
That time it was a man-to-man, as Boyd stayed with Maynard the whole way. Against Cleveland quarterback Bill Nelson told me after the game he kept expecting a zone throughout the game. And they kept staying in a man-to-man. He kept calling zone patterns, and they stayed in a man-to-man almost throughout the day.
Second and 10, the ball at the Baltimore 32-yard line. Bake Turner has replaced Don Maynard. Bake is to the near side. Sauer to the left side. The quick shot is to Bake, and he bounces it to him. And Bake was running an inside pattern, or a look-in pass, I guess you'd call it, Pat. And Namath underthrew him by almost 3 yards.
He had to get rid of the ball. The Colts were again blitzing, that time a safety blitz with Logan coming, the safety man. Nobody picked up Logan. Namath had to get rid of the ball early.
Whose responsibility on a safety blitz is it? The remaining back?
Oh, it will vary on the type of pass that's called, whether you're keeping your backs in to see whether it's a blitz. Sometimes you'll do that, and then they will go out in the flat. Other times the backs just shoot out there. Then one of your linemen has to pick him up.
Everybody's blitzing on this one. Namath scrambling. The Colts and everybody but the bench at it. I believe they had 8 men coming. The front four, all 3 linebackers, and a safety man.
Well, it seems a bit surprising, Pat. You mentioned the first 3 times the Colts blitzed. Namath picked it up very well, completed passes against them, but yet they've stayed right with it and continued to blitz against him.
They have, as Don Shula has said many times, a defensive game plan, which they stick pretty much with. They think the preparing that's been done defensively should be stuck with once the game starts.
A loss of a yard on the play, and Jim Turner now with a field goal attempt from the 41-yard line. Babe Borelli will be holding, and it's straight away. It is no good. It is off to the left side. There's timeout on the field with the score. New York 7, Baltimore nothing.
Score doesn't promise to make you an all-star athlete or to change your love life. It just gives you good-looking hair. Use Score and a little water. It keeps your hair in place without looking greasy. Score doesn't make outrageous promises. It just gives you good-looking hair.
Use it with water. It mixes with water. Score gives you good-looking hair.
Minutes, 13 seconds remaining in the first half. With New York leading Baltimore by a score of 7-0, the Colts have possession first down on their own 20-yard line. There have been 3 missed field goals thus far in the ballgame. Earl Morrill, the quarterback, again on first down. Earl throws right side. The pass is to Willie Richardson. He was bumped out of bounds as he came down with it at the 27-yard line by Johnny Sample. But he did have possession, and he did get the 2 steps inbounds. So mark it at the 27-yard line. It will be 2nd down and 3 yards to go. Tom Matte and Jerry Hill are the setbacks. Willie Richardson, the flanker. Jimmy Orr, the split end. John Mackey is the tight end. Bob Vogel at left tackle, and he has been limping. He's had a bit of ankle trouble. Glenn Ressler, left guard. Bill Curry, the center. Dan Sullivan, a right guard. And Sam Ball at offensive right tackle. Tom Matte, big hole on the right side. Outside the 30, great screen. He has to be cut from behind. He's to the 40, 35, 30. Cuts back inside the 20-yard line and is down at the 16-yard line. Bill Baird and tippers begin to flare on the far sideline as Johnny Sample and Bob Vogel are exchanging conversation. And Sample is giving away about 5 inches and about 65 pounds on that.
He's also been giving away a lot of lip over there, I think.
He has always done that. He's been one of the most talkative defenders, I guess, that you could possibly recall. He talks to the receivers. He talks to whoever he makes a tackle with. He talks to the officials, to everybody. Timmy Brown has replaced Matte now for Baltimore.
57 yards on the run by Tom Matte, and that is the longest run from scrimmage this year, this season, by the Baltimore Colts. First down, 16.5-yard line of New York. Jerry Hill, the fullback, And he has a yard and a half to about the 15. Let's see where the officials spot the ball. Mark it at the 15-yard line. And let's call it second down and 9 yards to go. Al Atkinson, the middle linebacker for New York, was the last man at the bottom of the stack. Jim Hudson was there, Bill Barrett, Paul Rochester, John Elliott, almost everybody. Willie Richardson goes to the right side, and Jimmy Orr is the flanker to the near side. Second and 9. Morrow's the quarterback. Earl back to throw. Good protection. Into the end zone. Intercepted at the 1 yard line. Johnny Sample has the interception. That is the second interception by the New York Jets. Richardson, the intended receiver, and Morrow had been intercepted only twice in the last 5 ball games. He has been intercepted twice in this ball game, first by Randy Beverly and then by Johnny Sample. So New York takes over on their own 2-yard line, first down. 2 minutes, 9 seconds remaining in the first half, and the Jets lead it by a score of 7-0.
Just happened to notice one thing. When the Jets get the ball, the officials change, and the AFL ball is used, which is a little bit different shape, not anything significant. When the Colts are operating with the ball, it's the NFL ball.
The 2-minute warning is now being given to both pitchers, George.
New York Jets secondary seems to be playing the receivers a bit tighter now than they were early in the ballgame. As we mentioned before, they seemed just a little bit nervous in the early stages of the ballgame. Were inclined to lay back away from the receivers, making certain nobody got behind them. But now I think they're playing a bit more effective pass defense back there, staying a little closer to the receivers. Of course, I think the score has helped them tremendously. They are leading in the ball game, and this will help any ball club when you go in, not over-awed, but awed a bit by all you've heard of this great Baltimore team, and all of a sudden you find that you can play with them for a couple of quarters, and you're ahead in the ball game. You're bound to loosen up, and it's going to relax you and help your team both offensively and defensively.
I'm wondering now what the strategy of the Jets will be with 2 minutes remaining in the first half, and I'm sure that you always want to put more points on the scoreboard, but I would think almost uppermost their mind is to go in at halftime leading 7-0.
I think you're absolutely right. They've been able to move the ball on the ground, too.
Namath taking a lot of time. Matt Snell. Snell has a couple of yards and maybe only one, as he runs into Billy Ray Smith, Fred Miller, Ordell Bracy, and Bubba Smith.
Colts have not used any of their timeouts, neither have the Jets, so if they are able to keep the New York team down here and force a punt, get the ball back on offense. This is Baltimore I'm speaking of. They'll have plenty of time to put some points on the board themselves if they can move the ball.
All right, the ball now at the 4-yard line, a gain of a couple, and it's second down and 8 yards to go. Emerson Boozer and Matt Snell are the running backs. Sauer is wide to the left. Maynard is wide to the right. The Jets are moving left to right. Snell, and he is dropped. Across the 5, comes down at the 6-yard line. Fred Miller hits him low, and Billy Ray Smith hits him high. And Baltimore now will stop the clock with the ball at the 7-yard line. It is third down and 5 yards to go. There's 1 minute and 12 seconds remaining in the first half.
This is a crucial call here, 3rd and 5 on your own 7. Question, do the Jets want to risk it to put the ball in the air, as they probably will have to do to pick up the first down, or would they be inclined just to run another running play, which after all will only consume 5 seconds before the Colts could call another timeout, and then the Colts would be able to take over after a punt out perhaps around the Jets 40 with a full minute to go, which, as Pat has pointed out, is just plenty of time for them to get down and score a touchdown, or at least to get down close enough to kick a field goal.
The personnel that the Jets have installed for this third down would indicate that they're going to go with pass of some sort, because Boozer has gone out. Mathis has come in at one of the running back spots, and if pass performance is any indication, when Mathis is playing, the Jets are inclined to throw the ball. When Boozer is in the game, he must be a better blocker for Snell, so they're inclined to run it. We'll see.
3rd and 5, New York controls at their own 7-yard line. 1 minute, 12 seconds remaining in the first half, and the Jets lead it 7-0. The draw, Snell. Just to the line of scrimmage, and that is it, as immediately Don Chinnick turns and asks for a timeout to stop the clock with a minute and 4 seconds remaining. It will be fourth and five, and the Jets will now be punting to the Baltimore Colts.
Be interesting to see what Baltimore's philosophy is here as to whether they will try to rush Curley Johnson and force him to get off a bad kick, or let him take his time and try to set up a punt return and get themselves better field position.
Timmy Brown is the deep man, and he sets up shop at the Jets' 47-yard line. The upback is Jerry Logan, but Logan is up at the 20-yard line. And Curley will be kicking from not quite the back edge of the end zone. He will take the ball about 8 yards deep in the end zone and kick from about the four or five yards. Now everybody comes in as if we will have a 10-man rush. And that's it, a 10-man rush, big pressure, almost blocked. Flags go down on the play. Curley Johnson was hit. Timmy Brown, a fair catch at the 40-yard line. But the penalty will be against Baltimore. I believe it was Alex Hawkins. The rule, of course, is you cannot touch the kicker unless you first touch the football. A defensive penalty. There are two flags, but if it stands up as that observation, then it will be an automatic first down for New York. As the Colts put everybody on the front line to put the pressure on. And again, we may have offsetting penalties as two flags were dropped. They are.
The Colts are complaining that the offensive center of the Jets on kicking situations, who is Paul Crane, is pulling them offsides. You remember earlier, they jumped offsides on a kicking situation. Now they jumped offsides again. Crane looks up and down with his head, and it seems to me that he's not even looking at the man that he snaps the ball to. But Baltimore's having a lot of problems with that. That time, they complained to the officials that Crane pulled them offsides, and the officials agreed.
And now we have the same situation. Fourth and five, and Curley Johnson is punting. Timmy Brown is the deep man. This time, Logan is back. So a 9-man rush by the Baltimore Colts. Here's the snap. He gets the boot away. Timmy Brown takes it to the 46-yard line. Starts to his right. He's cut off there. Comes back to his left. Returns to the 42-yard line. 4 yards on the return by Timmy Brown. And now 45 seconds remain in the first half. As Paul Crane, the man that Pat Summerall was talking about, makes the tackle. And the Colts, of course, will be going with their 2-minute offense, or now their 45-second offense. The ball on the 42-yard line of New York. First down. Morrow back to throw. Earl has great protection. To the near side, Jerry Hill. Hill trying to get out of bounds, cannot do it as he is hit at the line of scrimmage by Paul Crane, who is now the right linebacker replacing Larry Grantham. And they have to stop the clock now with 25 seconds remaining. And that, I believe, is the third timeout for the Colts.
Baltimore now with 25 seconds to go will probably try to run some kind of sideline pass pattern. If they had to try a field goal from this place, it would be about a 48-yard kick, and Michaels would have difficulty getting it there from here. They'd like to get a little bit closer, get the ball out of bounds if possible, and still have a chance to get at least 3 points on the board before halftime.
George?
They don't have too far to move in, Pat. He can hit them, I guess, from around 40 pretty well, can he? 35 or 40. So they only have to pick up, say, one first down, about 10 yards in here, and they'll be within his range pretty well.
They certainly will. Actually, Michaels is one of the stronger kickers in the National Football League. He has this range. I didn't mean to imply that he didn't. It's just if he could kick from 35 yards, his odds are so much better than if he were forced to kick from out here.
The ball is now at the 41-yard line, just outside the 41. We'll call it second and nine. 25 seconds remaining in the first half. The New York Jets leading the Baltimore Colts by a score of 7-0. As I recall, there was a turning point in the last few seconds of the Super Bowl, the first half of the Super Bowl last year, on a fumble punt that was recovered by the Green Bay Packers. They were playing the Oakland Raiders. Maddie, to the right, the ball is deflected, thrown back rather, and Morrow throws downfield, intercepted. Jim Hudson has it, stumbles at the 20-yard line,
lost his footing at the 20-yard line. That is the third interception of the ball game for New York. It went from Morrill to Matty to Morrill, and then to Jim Hudson. George?
And Jimmy Orr was wide open, 20 yards behind anybody down around the goal line, but simply was not seen down there. They did not try to throw the ball to him. He undoubtedly was the primary receiver on the play, but they just didn't spot him. But he was wide open, way behind anybody in the Jets secondary.
New York has possession at their own 21 as they just let the clock run out. The gun sounds. That is the end of the first half with a score of the New York Jets 7 and the Baltimore Colts nothing.
This is Joe Garagiola with a question for you veterans. You got any doubts about your future? Then move into the field of the future, computers. Soon everything's going to be computerized, and it's starting now, with 200,000 job openings for our computer programmers, the guys who make $10,000, $12,000, $15,000 a year and more, giving instructions to the computer. Now, to learn computer programming, all you need is a high school education, and you learn right in your own home, in your spare time, with the American Computer Institute, approved for veteran training. A special teaching process makes the learning faster and easier than you'd imagine. Get the American Computer Institute's free booklet and aptitude test. In New York, call now, OR7-1700. That's OR7-1700. Or write Computer, WNBC Radio, New York 10020. That's Computer, WNBC Radio, New York.
It's halftime at the 1969 Super Bowl game in Miami, Florida, with the New York Jets leading the Baltimore Colts by a score of 7-0. And the commissioner of professional football, Pete Rozelle, has joined us. Pete, your impression of the first half?
Well, I thought, of course, it was very exciting, Charlie. I think it surprised a number of people, at least what I've been reading the last 2 weeks.
What is the future of the Super Bowl? We keep reading next year is the last of the Super Bowls, but that is really not true, is it?
I think it'd be awfully difficult for us to get rid of the Super Bowl. It's been a wonderful week here, and naturally we feel that it's created tremendous interest all over the country.
Sets up a very exciting scheduling format for 1969. We had some
backs will be Preston Pearson on the near side and Timmy Brown on the far side. Preston Pearson was first in kickoff returns in the National Football League, fourth best in NFL history. His return average, 35 yards. We await now only the signal from the referee, Tom Bell, for the second half to get underway. The whistle, and Curly Johnson approaches the ball. He sends a high end-over-end kick that Timmy Brown takes at the goal line. Timmy's to the 15, cuts to his right at the 20, and returns to the 24, possibly the 25-yard line. So he'll have 25 yards on the return as Baltimore operates from their own 25-yard line, first down, and it's Mark Smolinski of the New York Jets, the captain of their specialty team. Preston Pearson is the captain of the specialty team for the Baltimore Colts. And Baltimore will open with Earl Morrall at quarterback. Jimmy Orr and Willie Richardson are both wide to the near side. Jerry Logan and Tom Matty are the running backs, and Matty is the ball carrier. Fumble at the 25-yard line. New York has recovered. The Jets have a break. At the opening moments of the second half, Ralph Baker, number 51, was the last man up. Now, he may not have been the man to recover the fumble, but at least he was the last man up. So mark the ball at the 33-yard line of Baltimore, where New York controls now first down. With 38 seconds deep into the second half. On the draw, Emerson Boozer inside the 30 and down at the 25-yard line. Don Schinnick makes the tackle, a gain of 8 yards on the play. It'll be second down and two. Lenny Lyles had an assist.
And it's interesting to note that the New York Jets start off the second half picking on the right side of the Baltimore Colts defensive line. They ran perhaps two-thirds of their plays in the first half. The running plays against the right side of the Baltimore defensive line, that's to the Jets' left, and now they start off the second half doing exactly the same.
Second down, 2 yards to go at the Baltimore 25-yard line. George Sauer is wide to the left side. Don Maynard is wide to the right side. Snell, the ball carrier, just gouging out the first down. Bubba Smith at defensive left end and the biggest starter in the ball game at 6'7", 295 pounds. Defensive left end along with Mike Curtis making the tackle at the 22-yard line where it is a first down. First and 10 for New York at the Baltimore 22-yard line. The Jets lead it by a score of 7-0. Joe Namath, the quarterback, the tight end is Pete Lammons. He is open on the left side with Sauer's foot away to that side as it just moved from left to right. Emerson Boozer spinning at the 20, picked up a couple of more yards before he was hit and driven back by Rick Boak. Winston Hill with the key block, and they'll mark the ball at the 19-yard line, a gain of 3. It'll be 2nd and 7, Pat.
If Namath and if the Jets have the same observations that I do, and you can check me on this, George, it seems that the Colts now are moving their middle linebacker, Dennis Gaubatz, over to the right to try to help out Don Schinnick and creating sort of a natural hole right up the middle. And if the Jets pick this up, this would seem to be a logical place for them to attack when they choose to run again.
That's an ideal thing on offense if you can make the defense adjust to get to the move where you want them to move.
2nd and 7 at the 19-yard line of the Colts. Namath back to throw. Dumps one Snell right side. He bumps heads with Boyd. Boyd gets an assist at the 14-yard line from Mike Curtis. And the ball is at the 14. A gain of 5. It will be 3rd down and 2 yards to go. And John Unitas continues to warm up on the near sideline. 11:55 remaining in the third quarter. The only score in the ball game coming in the second period by Matt Snell with 9:03 remaining in the second quarter from 4.5 yards out. The ball at the 14-yard line. 3rd down, 2 yards to go. Namath gives to Snell. Snell dives to the 11, and he has the first down. Jerry Logan and Dennis Gaubatz. Defensive safety and middle linebacker making the tackle. It is first and 10 at the 11-yard line of Baltimore. Emerson Boozer with a key block for Matt Snell.
And this is exactly what I was talking about a minute ago. When you get a defensive team concerned about one particular play, as the Baltimore Colts obviously are about that off tackle to their defensive right, then you can start your offense to work. And that time, Namath sent Snell right up the middle.
Boozer on a sweep to the left side. Steps away from two tacklers. He's in trouble, will be dropped for a loss, and is run out of bounds at the 17-yard line by finally Lenny Lyles. But almost everybody had a shot at it, and the key man could have been Ordell Bracey, the first man to make him give a bit of ground and give everybody else an opportunity to gain some ground on it.
Bracey also did an excellent job of tearing down what interference Boozer might have gotten out in front of him.
Boozer goes out, and he's replaced by Bill Mathis. And it is second and 16, and the ball will it's just inside the 17-yard line. Namath back to throw. Four men out on the pattern. He is being rushed. He is dropped by Bubba Smith. At defensive left end, 6'7", 295 pounds. And he drops Namath at the 25-yard line, a loss of 8. It will be third down and 24. During the regular season, Namath was dropped only 15 times. And that, I believe, is the first time in the ballgame that the Colts have actually gotten to him. Now, they have hit him a couple of times just as he released the football. This is the first time they've dropped him for a loss.
Namath drops back very deep when he is going to pass, and I believe that enabled Bubba Smith to get to him that side, because Bubba came all the way back and around and almost got him from the rear. But I think Namath could have been protected a bit better if he hadn't dropped back quite so deep on that pass.
And Fred Miller, a defensive right tackle, may have been injured on the play. He has come out and has been replaced by Lou Michaels. It is third and 24. Namath firing, almost intercepted by Jerry Logan at the 20-yard line, and he had nothing but green grass out in front of him. A sure 6 points for the Colts. Pete Lammons, the tight end, was the intended receiver. Logan played it beautifully but couldn't hold on to the football.
And from the way Namath threw the ball and from the pattern that Lammons ran, I think, again, Namath and the Jets were expecting a Baltimore zone, but it turned out to be a man-to-man. I think that's why Logan was so close.
Field goal attempt from the 32-yard line by Jim Turner, with Babe Borelli holding. The boot is up, and it is good. A 32-yard field goal by Jim Turner. Timeout on the field with the score now. New York 10, Baltimore nothing.
This comb's gliding through my hair like it doesn't have teeth. Hair, you have a friend up there. Gotta be an ace. Now I've got a handful of comb. No sissy comb here. This baby won't break on me first time it bends. Man, this is hard rubber and that's tough. Gotta be an ace. Just gotta be an ace. Ace makes men's combs and ladies' combs, too. Great combs all. No wonder Ace sells more hard rubber combs than anyone. Use an Ace once and you'll never ask for any other comb again. Ace Combs. Grab hold of one at your drugstore or supermarket. Now.
This is Charlie Jones, Pat Summerall, and George Ratterman at the Super Bowl in Miami, with New York now leading Baltimore by a score of 10-0, with 10 minutes and 8 seconds remaining in the third quarter. Preston Pearson and Timmy Brown are deep on the kickoff, and Curly Johnson is kicking for New York. Timmy Brown, 5-yard line. Timmy's to the 15, 20, 25, and returns to the 26-yard line. 21 yards on the return by Timmy Brown. Bill Rademacher making the tackle for the New York Jets. And again, John Unitas continues to warm up in front of the Colt bench. But the quarterback is Earl Morrill. And it will be second and 10 on the ball at the 26-yard line.
As we said earlier, the thing, the part of the Baltimore offense that they feared most, the Jets feared most, was John Mackey. And they have done an outstanding job on him. Mackey has caught only one pass for 19 yards. That was on the first offensive play for Baltimore, and since then he has been shut out.
No, Pat, it's been a year for tight ends, I think. I don't ever recall a year when so many tight ends were the leading pass receivers on their club from a standpoint of the most passes caught in the season. But this happened quite a bit in the American Football League, and I think the same thing was true in the National League this year.
Very true. There are some fine tight ends. Jackie Smith in St. Louis, Milt Morin, of course, in Cleveland, and Mackey here with Baltimore.
One thing that we haven't seen, speaking of John Mackey, is the tight end reverse, which Baltimore has used to great success this year. Second and 10, 26-yard line. Running back split over to the near side. Willie Richardson to the far side. Morrow back to throw. Dumps one on this side to his fullback, Jerry Hill. And he is dropped by Larry Grantham, the right linebacker, at the line of scrimmage. He just dumped it over into the near flat about the 22-yard line. He came back to the line of scrimmage where Grantham, along with John Elliott, brought him down. It will be third down and 10 yards to go. They mark it a loss of a yard, so let's call it third and 11 and place the ball at the 25-yard line.
And the Jets continue when Baltimore is in a passing situation to bring in Al Atkinson, which would indicate to me that he is a pretty good pass rusher, and they always keep a fresh man in there to rush the passer.
Third and 11. Morrow, back to throw, four-man rush by the Jets. Morrow is in trouble, scrambles out to their side, and he is dropped at the 24-yard line. A loss of a couple. Jim Hudson coming up from defensive safety, and Carl McAdam. The ball at the 24-yard line, and David Lee will be punting, I believe, for the second time in the ball game, and the first time he booted it 52 yards. Earl Christie and Bill Baird are the deep safeties for the New York Jets. The punt by David Lee. Bill Baird, 32-yard line. Bill is in trouble, and that's it. Earl Christie picked up a couple of men to block, but he missed them. And Sidney Williams dropped Baird. There's time out on the field with the score. New York 10, Baltimore nothing.
Score gives you no outrageous promises. Score gives you good-looking hair. Score gives you no outrageous promises. Score gives you good-looking hair. He uses with water, it mixes with water. Score gives you good-looking hair. Score gives you no outrageous promises. Score gives you good-looking hair.
Score doesn't promise to make you an all-star athlete or to change your love life. It just gives you good-looking hair. Use Score and a little water. It keeps your hair in place without looking greasy. Score doesn't make outrageous promises. It just gives you good-looking hair.
You use it with water. It mixes with water. Score gives you good-looking hair. Score gives you no outrageous promises. Score gives you good-looking hair.
And possession on their own 32-yard line, first down, and the Jets lead Baltimore by a score of 10-0. The Jets have not shut out a ball club this year. Baltimore has four shutouts to their credit. Namath, right side. The pass is complete to Bill Mathis, and Mathis has just a yard, and that's all before he goes out of bounds. Mike Curtis, the left linebacker, was the man who chased him out at the 33. It'll be second and 9. For New York, Matt Snell now has a total of 76 yards in 18 carries, and Tom Matte for Baltimore has 84 yards in 7 carries, picking up the longest gain, the gain of the ball game, and maybe that may be also a record at 58 yards on that play from scrimmage. Probably is. Second and 9, New York controlling at their own 33-yard line. Namath back to throw. Four men out on the pattern. Good protection. He fires. This one is complete. George Sauer at the 47-yard line. And a first down. Lenny Lyles and Rick Volk make the tackle as the Jets continue to pick on the defensive right side. Larry Todd of the Oakland Raiders formerly held the longest gain from scrimmage in the Super Bowl, set last year of 32 yards. And the run by Tom Matte in this ballgame establishes a new Super Bowl record. Fred Miller is back in at defensive right tackle for Baltimore. So it's Bubba Smith, Billy Ray Smith, Fred Miller, and Ordell Bracy, the front four on their defensive set. From the Jets' 47-yard line. Namath steps back three times. Pump fake left, throwing deep to Don Maynard. Maynard, the pass is incomplete at the 20-yard line. He was picked up by Jerry Logan. And did the ball hit somebody's helmet as they were fighting for it?
Looked to me as if it did. Logan was very close. That time, Baltimore did roll into the zone to Maynard's side. So they're guessing with Namath. He's guessing pretty well with them.
We pause 10 seconds for station identification.
Make it big. Wilson, weekdays 9 to noon. WNBC Radio 660 and WNBC FM, New York.
7 minutes, 9 seconds remaining in the third quarter. New York leading by a score of 10 to nothing. Namath taking a lot of time. The draw, Emerson Boozer, left side. To the 50, just into Baltimore territory, where Billy Ray Smith was the first man to get to him, and Dennis Govats, the middle linebacker, was the second. Don Shinnick, the right linebacker, also had a hand on the play. As the defensive right side of the Baltimore Colts, certainly getting a workout in this ball game. A gain of 3.5, so let's call it 3rd down and 7. The ball actually closer to the 50 than the 49-yard line of Baltimore. George? Sorry to wake you. For the record, George nodded. It's Mathis and Snell as the setbacks. And it's 3rd and 7. Namath over the middle. Lammon's a tight end. He has it. 38-yard line. And a first down for New York as Dennis Govats, the middle linebacker, makes the tackle. Possibly the observation that you made, Pat, earlier is that Namath seems to pick up the blitz. He seems to recognize the defenses much more quickly than anyone thought that he would.
He certainly does. I've been most impressed.
First down at the Baltimore 38-yard line. New York started this drive on their own 32. 5 minutes, 46 seconds remaining in the third quarter. Quick pass, Maynard, this side, 35-yard line. It is incomplete. He is then wrestled down by Bobby Boyd.
In an unfriendly manner.
I think it's interesting, Charlie, that one of the main concerns of Baltimore was Don Maynard. They've done quite a job on him. He has not caught a pass all day. Most of the damage has been done to George Sauer, who I believe now has caught 7. And he sort of pops up and does things that you don't recognize he's doing.
2nd and 10, the ball at the 38-yard line of Baltimore. Namath back to throw. 5 men out on the pattern. Over the middle. Snell has it. Pulls it in at the 27, east of the 25-yard line. Mike Curtis, the left linebacker, who was picking him up as he came across, makes the tackle at the 24-yard line and another first down for New York.
You have to give a lot of credit to the New York Jet offensive line. Namath has completed a lot of passes to those backs coming out of the backfield, particularly to Matt Snell. And you can't do that. You can't send those men out. The offensive line is not doing a heck of a job blocking. If you have to keep those guys in there to help protect, you just cut down the number of receivers you've got.
New York now has 15 first downs, Baltimore 6. At the 24-yard line of the Colts, Namath feeds off to Mathis on the draw, and Bill has a yard. It'll be 2nd down and 9 as Mathis is in replacing Matt Snell. Now Snell will come back in. Fred Miller and Don Shinnick making the tackle. George?
Pat, I think one of the big differences between these two passers today has been that Namath has been able to complete passes to his secondary receiver quite frequently. You can see him back there looking one way, then looking the other, picking up a secondary receiver, whereas Morrill apparently has not been able to do that this afternoon. He seems to go back with a predetermined receiver. If he is covered, well, then he ends up running the ball or throwing to him anyway.
2nd and 9 at the 23-yard line of the Colts. And the secondary of Baltimore now shifts. Namath, good protection, steps back, throws one deep. Maynard back edge of the end zone, comes out with it, but he's out of the end zone. Fred Miller hitting Namath as soon as he made his release. It'll be 3rd and 9, and Joe, I think, asked just for a towel as one is thrown out. Babe Parilli comes in. Namath has gone out on the far sideline, and Babe Parilli has replaced him at quarterback as he was really hit by Fred Miller.
Namath may have hurt his hand. He's looking at his right hand over there, and he may have injured a finger on his throwing hand.
It will be third down and 9, the ball at the 23-yard line, and Babe Borelli is now the quarterback. 52.7% completion average, 5 touchdowns, 2 interceptions during the regular season. This is the oldest man in the ballgame. Babe is 38, a 15-year veteran. The quick pass is incomplete at the 15-yard line. He was throwing to George Sauer, and it will be fourth and 9, so Babe, of course, will stay in the hole for Jim Turner. And Jim is in with a field goal attempt coming up. He has hit one from 32 yards out as the New York Jets want to try and tack 3 more points on the scoreboard, Pat.
As I check the front of the New York Jet bench where Namath is, something did happen to his right hand, his throwing hand. I don't know how serious it is. He hasn't even been looked at by the trainer as yet, so apparently it's not too bad.
A 31-yard field goal attempt by Jim Turner. Pirelli holding. The boot is up. And it is good from 31 yards out. There's timeout on the field with the score now. The New York Jets 13, the Baltimore Colts nothing.
This is Joe Garagiola with a question for you veterans. You got any doubts about your future? Then move into the field of the future, computers. Soon everything's going to be computerized. And it's starting now with 200,000 job openings for our computer programmers. The guys who make $10,000, $12,000, $15,000 a year and more giving instructions to the computer. Now, to learn computer programming, all you need is a high school education. And you learn right in your own home, in your spare time, with the American Computer Institute, approved for veteran training. A special teaching process makes the learning faster and easier than you'd imagine. Get the American Computer Institute's free booklet and aptitude test. In New York, call now. OR7-1700. That's OR7-1700. Or write Computer, WNBC Radio, New York 10020. That's Computer, WNBC Radio, New York.
3 minutes, 58 seconds remaining in the third quarter with the New York Jets leading Baltimore 13-0. George?
Well, it's interesting to note that as Joe Namath is over behind the Jets bench warming up to see if his throwing hand is all right, you have about 82,000 people here watching that, and 40 Baltimore Colts very intently looking over that way, too.
The deep men are Timmy Brown and Preston Pearson as Curly Johnson kicks off. Preston Pearson takes it, went back for it, hit the crossbar, automatic touchback. He would have taken it about 5 yards deep in the end zone. But it hit the crossbar, and the ball will come out to the 20-yard line, and John Unitas is now the quarterback for the Baltimore Colts. During the regular season, Unitas completed 11 of 32 passes for a 34.3% completion average, 4 interceptions, and he threw for 2 touchdowns. Unitas to Matty on a sweep to the right side, and Thomas to the 25-yard line. A gain of 5, it will be second down and 5 yards to go. I'm always interested to see when a quarterback comes in this type of situation now with 3:35 remaining in the third quarter, whether he opens up running or throwing.
Unitas is a quarterback who has always had the reputation of controlling a passing offense, not one who tries to establish the run. He likes to throw the football. He probably is just feeling his way a little bit right now.
Second and 5 from the 25. United fakes, throws, pass complete, 25-yard line to Tom Matty, and he is rolled down immediately by Larry Grantham. That is the line of scrimmage. It will be 3rd and 5. George, you were a quarterback, and you saw a lot of this type of situation. How did you open?
Well, I think you like to get the feel of things, run a play or two, if you can, a running play, just to get to the feel of the field before you throw it. Or if you're going to throw, the short pass, the real quick one, as Unitas did there. You don't like to go into the ball game and throw the ball 40 or 50 yards downfield the first time or two. Well played that time by Larry Grantham, because Unitas faked a running play into the line before hitting Matty out in the flat, but Grantham was right out there. He didn't go with the fake at all.
3rd and 5. Unitas back to throw. Sideline pass, Jimmy Orr, incomplete, 35-yard line. Jimmy had it on his fingertips, couldn't hold on to it. Randy Beverly was covering it. It's 4th and 5, and Baltimore will be punting.
And time becomes very much a factor now. 2:32 remaining in the third quarter. Jets leading 13-0.
the Colts are in a situation where the next time they get the football, they almost have to get some points on the board.
Orr was open on that one, I think. United threw sort of a wobbler out there to him, but Orr was open.
David Lee will be punting. Earl Christie and Bill Baird are the deep men for the New York Jets. A high spiral, Bill Baird. Fair catch, accepts it. 37-yard line in New York territory. So the Jets control now on their own 37. First and 10. We talked a lot earlier in the volume about the psychology, about the feeling, about being a little bit on the nervous side, of being quiet in the locker room, how the practices went. I would think now that the New York Jets, playing, of course, as George mentioned, with more confidence than they did in the early moments, but now they had a chance to look at a man who has become a legend in professional football and to hold him on his first series. That has to be a little plus for the defense, mentally.
Very definitely. All of them, of course, have heard of John Unitas almost all of their lives, and you have to be a little bit in awe of a man like that. And to do the job they did, I think it's not only something that would build them up, but quite a compliment to their defense.
We notice as the Jets come back out onto the field to take over the ball that Joe Namath has come back in the quarterback, so he will again be the quarterback for the Jets. Brilli replaced him for just one play in that last series of downs when Joe apparently, I don't know whether his throwing hand was stepped on, but seemed to injure a finger or something in his hand, not seriously, but he is back in the ballgame now.
Matt Snell has scored the only touchdown of the ballgame. That was in the second quarter from 4.5 yards out, and Jim Turner of the Jets has 2 field goals from 32 and 31 yards away, and it's 13-0 New York. Roy Hilton has replaced Ordell Bracy at defensive right end. That is where the Jets have been moving. This time they go right up the middle with Snell, and he has a couple of yards to the 40-yard line. It'll be second down and 8 yards to go. Bob Talamini, John Schmidt, and Winston Hill blocking on that side.
Think about the only two spots that the Jets have run this half have been directly up the middle with Matt Snell or off tackle to the left. I don't recall a running play going to any place else in this half, and most of them in the first half the same way, particularly off tackle to the left.
New York controlling on their own 40-yard line. Second down and 8. Namath back to throw. Strong rush by Bubba Smith. The pass is just off of the hand of George Sauer. Check it, that wasn't Bubba. That was Roy Hilton, the defensive right end, who was in replacing Ordell Bracy. So it will be third down and 8 yards to go at the Jet 40.
Whatever happened to Namath's hand when he had to leave the game a minute ago doesn't seem to be bothering him anymore. He threw that pass under heavy rush and with good authority. Colts did whatever rush they got with just the front four. No blitz. They faked a blitz early and then backed out.
Maynard is wide to this side. Sauer to the far side. Quick pass is complete to George Sauer. He fumbles the ball. It is picked up by Baltimore, but the whistle may have sounded. Jerry Logan picked it up. And the Jets may retain possession. Namath that time took only one step back and then fired.
Again, the safety blitz, though, wasn't it, Pat? And Namath picked it up immediately and just hit Sauer with a little pop over the line.
So mark the ball at the 50-yard line, and it is a first down for New York.
During the week, Coach Weeb Eubank of New York said if they want to blitz, if they want to come, if they want to send their safety man to linebacker, a safety man or linebackers, let them come. We've had no trouble with it all year. And I think the main reason they haven't had trouble is the quick release of Joe Namath.
Namath back to throw. 3 men out on the pattern. Maximum protection. Deep to Sauer. George has it. 15-yard line down at the 9. 41 yards on the pass play. Lenny Lyles made the tackle. George Sauer, second in receiving in the league this year. Just a couple of receptions behind Lance Allward.
And there's a chance that that play could be the ball game right there, because the New York Jets have a 13-point lead, only about 45 seconds remaining in the third quarter, and that takes them down close enough, so even if they can't get a touchdown out of this, unless they fumble or unless there's a pass intercepted, they should have a certain field goal, which would put them more than 2 touchdowns ahead of the Colts going into the fourth quarter. So that could have been an extremely important play in this ball game.
Ron Porter has replaced Don Shinnick, and the ball is at the 10-yard line, and it is first and goal to go from the 10. Namath takes a lot of time, spins, gives off to Snell. Snell this time goes to the right side and has 4 yards to the 6, where it's second and goal to go. Pete Lammons and Dave Herman, the key blocks on that side. Gaubatz and Logan with a tackle. And that may be the first time in the third quarter now with 3 seconds remaining that the Jet offense on the ground has moved to its right.
I think he tried to cross him up that time. He's gone to the left so frequently, I think he tried to cross him up going to the right.
The gun sounds at the end of the third quarter with the score, New York 13, Baltimore nothing.
Score, did you know our pages promises? Score gives you good-looking hair,
yeah!
Score gives you know our pages promises.
Score gives you good-looking hair.
Use it with water.
It mixes with water.
Score gives you good-looking hair.
Score gives you know our pages promises.
Score gives you good-looking hair.
Score doesn't promise to make you an all-star athlete or to change your love life. It just gives you good-looking hair. Use Score and a little water. It keeps your hair in place without looking greasy. Score doesn't make outrageous promises. It just gives you good-looking hair.
You use it with water.
It mixes with water.
Score gives you good-looking hair.
Score gives you no outrageous promises.
Score gives you good-looking hair.
Along with Pat Summerall and George Ratterman, this is Charlie Jones. Where New York controls on the Baltimore 6-yard line, it is second and goal to go. And Pat, you would correct me on the receiver because Sauer has been working on the left side all day, and I just figured it automatically went to George, but it didn't. It went to Don Maynard.
It's the first time today we've seen Maynard on that side. This is something I think they did with great success against Oakland in their own championship game. Maynard and Sauer on the same side, and just a great pass by Joe Namath. Hung it right in there.
So give the credit to Don Maynard, and that may be his first reception in the ballgame. And he saved it for a key situation. The ball is at the Baltimore 6-yard line. The Jets control, second and goal to go. New York leading Baltimore 13-0 as we open now the fourth quarter. Flag will go down on the play. Snell goes to the 3-yard line. Gaubatz and Volk making the tackle, but one of the Colt defenders jumped and made contact. Now, whether or not he was drawn off, we will have to wait and see. Offsides against Baltimore.
Charlie, if anyone had told me at the start of the fourth quarter that the Jets would be leading Baltimore 13-0, I don't know what I would have said. What kind of odds I was given that that would not be the case. They have done an excellent job of everything.
And I think the man that has been most maligned by the press for stating, as we said earlier, just the way that he feels, has had a fantastic ballgame, Joe Namath.
Without question.
With a penalty, we split the distance, the ball at the 3. It is second and goal to go. Matt Snell coming to the outside, cuts back in to the line of scrimmage, and that's about it, as Lou Michaels is there to stop him, as Michaels is now in and seems to come in on all the short yardage situation for the Baltimore Colts. So it'll be third down and goal to go, and the ball at the 3-yard line of Baltimore. Bill Mathis and Matt Snell are the running backs. Snell scoring the only touchdown thus far in the ballgame from 4.5 yards out. Jim Turner with 2 field goals. And, of course, should the Jets not score here, I would imagine that Turner will be in action again.
You'd think now that Namath will put it in the air. He's got the wide side to work with Maynard.
He gives to the second man through, Bill Mathis. And Bill has a yard to the 2. It is now fourth and goal to go. And the kicking team comes in. Dennis Gaubatz was the last man up for the Baltimore Colts, the middle linebacker. 13 minutes, 58 seconds now remaining in the ballgame. As the Jets want to add 3 more points, and Jim Turner wants to kick his 3rd field goal. The Super Bowl record is 4, right, Pat?
Right, by Don Chandler last year against Oakland.
This will be a 9-yard attempt with Babe Borelli holding. The ball is down, the boot is up, and it is good. There's timeout on the field with the score now, New York 16 and Baltimore nothing. This week, Chrysler Corporation cars just won a special kind of event where speed wasn't the important thing. The event was the Union Pure Oil Performance Trials at Daytona International Speedway. These trials were sanctioned by NASCAR, and NASCAR couldn't have cared less which car won. All 60 cars in the test were right out of the showroom. Three different Plymouths and three different Dodge models went to the track with the other cars. They competed evenly with them, and they won 6 out of 9 tests. That's quite a record. But what kind of tests were they? The most practical everyday things you want from your car. Fuel economy, acceleration, braking, and Chrysler cars won. This is what Chrysler Engineering is all about. Start with the basics and design and build a better car for you. That's value. With things like better fuel economy, acceleration, braking. Just 3 of the important things you'll find at your nearest Chrysler, Plymouth, or Dodge dealer. So go in and buy yourself a Daytona winner now. And the most valuable player in today's game, selected by Sport Magazine, will be given the hot Dodge Charger RT. 13 minutes, 26 seconds remaining in the ballgame as Curly Johnson will be kicking off to Preston Pearson and Timmy Brown. Pearson, 5 yards deep in the end zone, picks up the ball, then decides to run it out after he drops it. He's out to the 10, breaks it to 15, to the 20, 27-yard line. On a gamble by Preston Pearson after he fumbled the ball about 5 yards deep, Mike D'Amato of the Jets made the tackle. And that could have been costly.
I think the Jets let up a little bit. They thought Pearson wasn't going to bring it out. And I think the rest of his offensive unit that were back there with him also were surprised that he did after he fumbled it in the end zone.
John Unitas, the quarterback, throws far side. The pass is complete to John Mackey, his tight end. At the 32-yard line, and Larry Grantham makes the tackle.
No time now for the Colts to attempt to establish anything. They've got to put the football in the air with a possible draw or a screen here and there. But they've got to get some points on the scoreboard and do it in a hurry. Not field goals, touchdowns.
Matty on a sweep to this side is outside the 35 to the 37, the 38-yard line. Al Atkinson, the middle linebacker, is the man who made the tackle, along with Ralph Baker.
John Unitas has a great reputation for being able to bring his team from behind in games such as this in the fourth quarter. Of course, most of the years when Unitas was doing that, he had a strong right arm. He's throwing the ball pretty well, but we don't know just how strong that arm is as far as the deep pass is concerned.
Unitas throws this side. It's complete to Willie Richardson at the 45-yard line. He steps out of bounds. Johnny Sample was the man covering him right in front of the Colt bench, and tempers begin to flare again. At the 45-yard line. A gain of 7 on the play. So it'll be 2nd down and 3 yards to go. And Sample, of course, as Pat Summerall mentioned, is a man who talks to you a lot. And he's also a man that used to be with the Baltimore Colts. And the man that he was then talking to is Tom Mitchell. And I think Tom had a couple of answers for it.
Seemed to.
They spot the ball at the 44-yard line. So it'll be 2nd down and 4 yards to go. The Colts controlling in their own territory. Unitas gives to Matty. 2 guards pulling to the 50. New York territory playing his blockers beautifully inside the 40 to the 37-yard line. Dan Sullivan, the leading guard. And Matty stayed just on his heels. A first down for the Baltimore Colts. It's for the first time in the second half they've begun to generate an offense. Al Atkinson made the tackle of the ball at the 37-yard line of New York.
One thing Unitas is doing that Marl did not do is change his cadence when the ball is being snapped. It seemed that the Jets had all the momentum. Quick count.
Flags on the play. The fullback, Jerry Hill. Hill to the 26 or the 25-yard line, but there were markers down.
Say, one thing for Unitas, he's picked this team up. They're showing a good deal more pep out there on offense and go than they had earlier in the ballgame.
I think that time he caught the Jets offside. I made a point just a minute ago that he was changing his snap cadence. And the Baltimore offensive line seemed to have taken some of the momentum away from the Jets, so that's what happened that time.
Offside against New York, it is refused. And the ball is at the 26-yard line and a first down.
seemed an odd play for the Jets to jump offside because it was actually a quick count up at the line of scrimmage. And it's how you can jump offside on a quick count, I don't know.
Orr comes wide to the near side, as does Richardson. United throws right. The pass is incomplete. Willie Richardson, the intended receiver. And Jim Hudson was covering him. It'll be second and ten. 11 minutes, 14 seconds remain in the ball game. The New York Jets lead by a score of 16 to nothing. And, of course, we might mention at this juncture, now with a two-touchdown-plus-two-point lead, is that in this ball game, as in the regular NFL games, you can go only for the one extra point, and you cannot go for the 2 points. So Baltimore trailing by now two touchdowns and a field goal. Unitas back to throw. Four men out on the pattern. Good protection. Into the end zone. The pass is intercepted. The fourth interception of the ball game for the New York Jets. There was a flag down. As running at Johnny Sample was Tom Matty. Sample dropped to trip him at the 5-yard line. This is after the play had ended. Randy Beverly has his second interception of the ball game. And the Jets have their fourth interception. Jimmy Orr was the intended receiver. And Randy Beverly, the 2-year veteran from Colorado State, having a great afternoon.
The flag is still down. The exchange between Sample and Matty took place about the 3 or 4 yard line.
I'm wondering if that might not be something that came out of the audience. That is not a flag.
Could be.
The ball at the 20-yard line, New York controls. Take a look at the yellow object at the 3-yard line right after this play. First down for the Jets on their own 20. Namath on the draw. Snell has a couple of yards. To the 22, it'll be 2nd and 8. Emerson Boozer, rather, the fake was to Snell. No, it's part of the halftime pageantry. Somebody left part of the cornucopia, I believe, that they had that was yellow. The ball at the 22-yard line of the Jets. They control it. It's 2nd and 8. George Sauer coming to this side. Don Maynard is a flanker to the far side. And Pete Lammons is the tight end. He is open. Boozer and Snell are the running backs. Namath, Matt Snell. The hole open on the left side for Snell for just about a yard, and it was closed immediately as he was driven back. So mark it at the 23. It will be 3rd down and 7 yards to go. Exactly 10 minutes remaining in the ballgame. The New York Jets leading by a score of 16 to nothing over the champions of the National Football League, the Baltimore Colts. Winston Hill, Bob Talamini, John Schmidt, Randy Rasmussen, and Dave Herman, the interior offensive lineman for the New York Jets. Ron Porter and Roy Hilton are in on defense for Baltimore. Namath, quick pitch, Emerson Boozer around the corner, 25 to the 30-yard line, and he has the first down. He had to go to the 30, and he did. Randy Rasmussen, the second-year man from Kearney State, makes his hometown in Elba, Nebraska. Percentage-wise, more professional football players come from Elba than from any other city in America.
It's a very astute statement.
That's right. And it's Randy. He's the one. The ball at the 31-yard line of the Jets. They control. 8:55 now remaining. Namath taking a lot of time. Matt Snell jumps to the outside at the 35, still on his feet after being hit, and finally is out of bounds. And a flag goes down, out of bounds, against Roy Hilton of the Baltimore Colts. As the hitting has continued both on and off the field, and tempers are running high on both sides.
And from the motion that the official made down there, it would seem that the penalty is for kicking.
15 yards against the Baltimore Colts, takes the ball to the Colts 44-yard line. Let's call it the 45, actually closer to the 45, and it's a first down.
Charlie, in all the games that I've seen all year long of Baltimore's, nobody has whipsawed the Baltimore defense as well as the Jet offensive unit has done. They've been able to run, they've been able to throw. Nobody's been able to do this all year long.
George Sauer coming wide to this side, Maynard to the far side. Emerson Boozer and Matt Snell are the running backs. Snell over the right side, inside the 40 to the 37-yard line. A gain of 8 yards on the play. It will be second and two. Jerry Logan and Rick Volk, the defensive safety, make the tackle. And again, as both George and Pat have pointed out, the credit throughout the ballgame for the New York offense has to go to the center, John Schmidt, the guards, Bob Talamini, Randy Rasmussen, the tackles, Winston Hill, and Dave Herman. They've given pass protection, and they've opened the hole. Matt Snell comes out. He's replaced by Bill Mathis. Emerson Boozer leaning for the first down. This will be close. He needed a couple of yards. He may not have quite made it. Almost to the 35-yard line. Billy Ray Smith from the University of Arkansas, a 10-year veteran. Did you play with Billy Ray?
A little bit older than he is. He was a freshman when I was a senior there, John.
Well, we've mentioned several times that the New York Jets take quite a long time up at the line of scrimmage before snapping the ball. This seems to negate the jumping around, the stunning that the Baltimore Colts do defensively in an effort to confuse the quarterback before the ball is snapped.
Third and one. Mathis tries the left side and does not go anywhere. So it will be fourth and one, and Jim Turner comes on. He has a chance to tie. Now the Super Bowl record with a field goal attempt coming up. He's hit from 32, 31, and 9 yards away. Did I mention earlier about his dreams? Did I say that on the air? Because we had talked about it. Because all season long he dreams the night before, and he always is missing the one that wins the ball game. And when he came into the Jet locker room, I asked him if he had a dream last night, and he said, I had about 300 dreams. I couldn't sleep. This will be 42 yards away. Babe Parilli will be holding. 6:46 remaining. The snap. The ball is down. The boot is up. It is no good. It is off to the left. There's timeout on the field with the score. New York 16, Baltimore nothing.
This is Joe Garagiola with the answer for all you guys who feel trapped in a nothing job with a nothing future. Move into the field of the future. Computers. Soon everything will be computerized. Right now, there are 200,000 jobs for our computer programmers, the men who earn $10,000, $12,000, $15,000 a year and more by giving instructions to computers in easy-to-learn computer language. So if you're a high school graduate, the American Computer Institute will train you to become a computer programmer right in your own home in your spare time. A special training method makes learning easy. And in a short time, you'll be qualified for a high-paying, high-status position with a solid future. Get the American Computer Institute's free booklet and aptitude test. In New York, phone today, OR7-1700. That's OR7-1700. Or write computer, WNBC Radio, New York 10020. That's computer, WNBC Radio, New York.
This is Charlie Jones. George Ratterman, Pat Summerall, 6:34 remaining in the ballgame. The third annual Super Bowl, the New York Jets leading the Baltimore Colts 16-0. Baltimore controls from their own 20-yard line, first down. John Unitas is the quarterback, sends four men out on the pattern, throws far side, it is tipped, almost intercepted. Jim Hudson is the man who knocked it away, and John Mackey, the intended receiver. It will be second and 10 for the Colts, the ball on their own 20.
Unitas has not thrown long yet, has he, since he came into the ballgame?
Well, the one that was intercepted by Beverly, I think, in the end zone was the longest attempt he has made. That was only about 25 or 30 yards, I think.
Willie Richardson comes wide to the near side. Jimmy Orr is put left, and Unitas is back to throw. He fires, it is incomplete. Willie Richardson, the intended receiver. Sample had the deep coverage on him, and he was being picked up short, I believe, by Ralph Baker, the linebacker, but the pass was simply over his head. Now let's pause 10 seconds for station identification.
One of the nicest things about the Jack Hayes Show is Jack Hayes. Weekdays, noon to 3, WNBC Radio 660 and WNBC FM New York.
Three field goals by Jim Turner and a touchdown by Matt Snell from 4.5 yards out. The scoring of the ball game, all for New York. 3rd and 10. From the 20-yard line, United throws. This pass is partially deflected at the line of scrimmage. It is incomplete. Mackey, the intended receiver. It will be 4th and 10, and the Colts will have to punt.
I don't think they're going to punt. United is staying in the ballgame.
United has now completed 3 of 9 passes. So now with 6 minutes and 19 seconds remaining in the ballgame, the Colts gambling on a 4th and 10 situation from their own 20. Baltimore has 8 first downs. The Jets have 19. And this could be the play of the game in either direction. Richardson coming to this side. Maddie's over on the right wing and Ora is put left. United's back to throw. He fires. The pass is complete. They have the first down, 37-yard line. Randy Beverly and Larry Grantham actually stopping Jimmy Orr. They never brought him down, but they stopped him for the whistle to sound at the 37-yard line. That's quite a gamble.
It's a gamble that Baltimore had to take if they had any plans of pulling this game out at all. With 5:50 now left, United has got to get him in soon.
Richardson comes to this side. Jimmy Orr to the far side. Maddie's off on the left wing, and Jerry Hill is the remaining back. United back to throw. Loops one. This one is incomplete. Willie Richardson, the intended receiver. And the pass was high, and United has been high to Richardson a couple of times.
That would indicate that his arm is still not what it used to be, because he would not miss passes like that. Richardson was open, and 2 or 3 times he has thrown high and over his head. Would indicate to me that he just can't snap it off like he did when he had a good arm.
Is there any chance that his arm will be well by next year?
From what I hear, Charlie, surgery would not do whatever injury he has any good. If rest can cure it, it might be all right.
It'll be 2nd and 10. Baltimore controls at their own 37-yard line. 5:39 remaining. New York leads 16-0. United's back to throw. Good protection. Screen. And the pass is incomplete to Jerry Hill. And if memory serves me right, that's the first screen of the ballgame, isn't it?
I'm just going to say that. We had one or two for that early play to Mackey that was somewhat like a screen pass without the lineman in front of him, but this is the first legitimate screen pass in the entire ballgame, I believe.
Al Atkinson, the middle linebacker of the Jets, had infiltrated the screen. Now 5 minutes, 34 seconds remaining. Matt Summerall is now leaving the booth and going down to the Baltimore locker room where we'll be joining him in some of the post-game activities. 3rd and 10 from the 37-yard line. United under a strong rush. The pass to Mackey has it. A flag goes down back at the 32-yard line. Mackey has dropped at the 46 or 47, but a flag was down. Bill Baird made the tackle. And a strong rush for the New York Jets. They will tack the penalty on to the end of the play, 15 yards. Personal foul for roughing the passer. So the ball goes to the 37-yard line of New York, where Baltimore controls 1st and 10, now with 5 minutes 24 seconds remaining, as the Colts try to generate a drive. They have been stymied by pass interceptions inside the 5-yard line. Tom Matte is bit down at the 36 by Verlin Biggs, a gain of a yard. It'll be 2nd down and 9. We've talked about the offensive line of New York. Their defense with 4 interceptions. Randy Beverly with 2, Jim Hudson with 1, Johnny Sample with 1, and Ralph Baker with a fumble recovery. Tom Matte for the Colts has now gained 121 yards in 12 carries, and that is a Super Bowl record. Snell has 97 yards in 24 carries for New York. United throws. Richardson at the 25. Sample was way off of Willie and then drags him down at the 15-yard line, where it will be a first down. Johnny Sample is playing off of Willie Richardson by 8 to 12 yards, George.
Richardson was lined up wide, came in across the middle, and it would appear that Sample either expected him to fake in there and come back out to him, or else Sample possibly thought he had help on the inside, but when Richardson caught the ball, there was nobody near him.
4 minutes, 26 seconds remaining. Unitas back to throw again. He throws to the left side. Tom Matty, and the pass is incomplete at the 10-yard line. It'll be second and 10 from the 15. Bill Baird was the jet defender on the play. The interior offensive lineman for the Baltimore Colts. Now with John Williams, Glenn Ressler, Bill Curry, Dan Sullivan, and Sam Ball. As Bob Vogel, who's been bothered by that bad ankle that he hurt in the championship game, comes out. Mackey's a tight end, Jimmy over the split end. Willie Richardson, the flanker. Hill and Matty are the setbacks, and John Unitas is the quarterback. Second and 10, the ball at the 15-yard line of New York. Unitas throws, the pass is to Orr, he has it at the 5-yard line. The flag goes down against Al Atkinson, who was the second man to get to him. Randy Beverly made the tackle between the 3 and the 4-yard line, and the personal foul, which will be called against Atkinson, will split the distance to the goal line as Tom Mitchell, the second tight end, comes in, and the ball is placed just inside the 2. Will be first and goal to go. Personal foul called against Atkinson. 4 minutes and 14 seconds remaining in the ball game. Matty diving on the right side after he was flagged up has a yard to the 1. It'll be second and goal to go. A flag comes down on the far side. I believe that is correct, as we have some yellow objects floating around on the field. Yes, that's a flag. Which tend to be a bit deceptive from the altitude that we are watching the ball game, high atop the Orange Bowl. And the rain is held off. It has been a bit breezy, but it has been a pleasant afternoon for football in a standing room only crowd watching the third annual Super Bowl.
And with 4 minutes remaining in the ball game, and the ball right down almost on the New York Jets goal line, it's important to the Jets that they, even if the Baltimore Colts are going to score, that they hold them for a couple of downs here, because that would use up important time on the clock. So even if Baltimore is going in for a touchdown at this point, and it would appear that they probably will, it would be important if the Jets could hold them here for a couple of downs, make them use up some of this remaining 4 minutes.
The Jets were offside. They take the penalty to the 1, and it's first and goal to go as Matty goes in motion. Quarterback sneak by Unitas, just trying to burrow his way in, and no signal from the official. Unitas with a quarterback sneak. 3 minutes, 58 seconds now remaining. He did not go into the end zone from the 1. He picked up about a half yard. So it'll be second and goal to go. Unitas takes, gives to Matty. He is stacked up. And he does not go in. From a half yard out, it is now third and goal to go. And you may recall, if you follow the New York Jets through this season, they have had several goal line stands. I remember one against Cincinnati, one against Oakland.
Weave Eubank pointed that out earlier this week in one of his press conferences. He's very proud of this defensive line for the way they have had these goal line stands throughout the season.
Unitas to the fullback, Jerry Hill, and Baltimore scores. It was an 80-yard touchdown drive in 15 plays. And the Colts are on the scoreboard for the first time now with 3 minutes and 19 seconds remaining. And it is 16-6 with the extra point coming up. Lou Michaels will be attempting. Bobby Boyd is holding. And the boot is good. So it becomes a 16-7 ball game with 3 minutes and 19 seconds remaining. And George, as we have started to look at that clock some 10 minutes ago to continue on the countdown, Baltimore now trailing by a touchdown and a field goal. The next offensive series for the Jets, they must control, they must pick up a couple of first downs, they must use up time on the clock.
be interesting to see whether the Baltimore Colts try an onside kick here. You don't think they almost have to, because they have to get hold of that ball again. The Jets, well, now they're lined up, I guess, in a regular receiving formation. They perhaps have a few people up a little closer, but they haven't put some seven men up there within 15 yards of the ball, as you see teams do occasionally when they feel it most certainly will be an onside kick.
Lou Michaels will be kicking off. And as George pointed out, everybody is up a little closer, but not crowding in that far. Well, the onside kick, it must go 10 yards for the Colts, and then they must recover it. It is an onside kick, so this side it does go the 10 yards. A scramble for it. Baltimore has it at the 44-yard line of New York. Tom Mitchell comes out of the stack, but the man at the bottom has been shaken up. Mitchell, I believe, is the man who actually recovered it. And they want to get the player off. It's number 21, Rick Volk. They do not want to use up a timeout. The ball is at the 44-yard line of New York. Baltimore controls. They trail 16-7. First down. Unitas back to throw. Four men out on the pattern. Sideline pass is complete to Willie Richardson, and he's bumped out of bounds by Johnny Sample. And again, Sample exchanging praises with the Baltimore bench where he bumped him out. The ball at the 38-yard line, a gain of six, and of course the clock is stopped, and it's second and four. Now with exactly 3 minutes remaining, and Johnny Unitas may be the finest two-minute offensive quarterback in the history of the game.
He has that reputation. Again, though, John has not thrown a long pass, what you'd call a long pass here. It's questionable whether he can, whether his arm is strong enough. He certainly has done a tremendous job here, though, for the last 3 or 4 minutes.
Over the middle, it's complete to Jimmy Orr. Orr to the 25, down at the 24-yard line. Randy Beverly makes the tackle at the 24-yard line. The Colts going without a huddle. It's a first down at the 24-yard line. 2 minutes, 44 seconds remaining in the ball game. Richardson to the right side or left. Maddie's in the slot on the left side. Mackey's the tight end. The pass to this side is complete to Willie Richardson. Inbounds just barely at the 19-yard line. A gain of five, and it stops the clock with 2:35 remaining. A 19-yard line of New York. New York leading 16-7. They have led throughout the ball game. The 80-yard drive engineered by Johnny Unitas with Jerry Hill going in. And then, of course, the recovery by Tom Mitchell of the onside kick. And the Colts coming to life, fighting both the Jets and the clock. Unitas throwing. Sample breaks it up at the 5-yard line. It is incomplete at the 5. It will be third down and 5 yards to go at the 19-yard line. Willie Richardson, the intended receiver.
Good play by Sample, and Richardson again was wide to the right, tried to break in over the middle. A difficult pattern for a defensive cornerback to cover if that flanker is just going to break quickly in over the middle, because you don't know if he might be faking in there, if he might stop and come back to the outside. But Sample was all over him on the play.
2 minutes, 30 seconds remaining. The winner's share, $15,000 per player. The loser's share, $7,500 per player. Third and five, 19-yard line of New York. Unitas looks to his left. Pops, throws over the middle. It is incomplete. And a strong rush by Paul Rochester of the New York Jets, dropping John Unitas as soon as he made the pass. And Jerry Philbin, the defensive left end. Jimmy Orr, the intended receiver. It is now fourth and five.
And Unitas was just getting rid of the ball on that play. He had nobody open. Had to get rid of the ball or he would have been thrown for a loss. So he just threw it close enough to a receiver so he couldn't be called for intentionally grounding, but was not trying to complete the pass, was just trying to get rid of it.
Fourth and five. We've had so many key plays, so many turning points in the fourth quarter, and we're faced now with another one. Fourth and ten. From the 20-yard line, Unitas threw, and he picked up the first down to keep a drive going. Now it's fourth and five from the New York 19. John's back to throw. Good protection. Far side tipped and is incomplete. The Jets take over on downs on their own 19-yard line. Larry Grantham is the man who tipped it as he throws his helmet in the air at the 10-yard line. New York has possession with 2 minutes, 21 seconds remaining. New York 16 points is a high for an AFL team in the Super Bowl. Previous high was Oakland's 14 last year. And now all the Jets have to do is run out the clock. But 2 minutes and 21 seconds is a lot of clock.
That it is. And of course, they're moving the ball now out to the 20-yard line because that was a fourth down pass. Did come down in the end zone, so it comes out to the 20-yard line, which gains the Jets, what, about 1 yard or 1.5 yards. So they'll take over first and 10, 2 minutes and 21 seconds remaining in the ball game. First and 10 for the Jets on their own 20.
Joe Namath is a quarterback, and what a ball game he has had. Emerson Boozer and Matt Snell are the running backs. Sauer coming to this side and Maynard to the far side. Matt Snell to the line of scrimmage, and that is it as Bubba Smith, the defensive left end, drops him at the 20-yard line. And timeout has been called by Baltimore to stop the clock. The ball is just, let's call it the 21, and we'll mark it second down and 9 yards to go. And the clock is stopped now with 2:15 remaining. And I don't think anybody in our listening audience or anybody here in the stadium or in the television viewing audience, almost around the world, as we are covered by Armed Forces Radio, expected to come down to 2:15 and have New York leading Baltimore 16-7.
Now, as you pointed out before, Charlie, of all the sports writers that are here, and there are, I think, between 200 and 300 writers here, there are only six, I believe, who picked the New York Jets to win this football game. And some of the scores, the predicted scores by the other writers, went as high as, I think, 43-0 in favor of the Colts was the biggest margin that any of the writers picked.
I might go back right now, although this game is far from over, is that you have been the closest of the picks between you and Pat and myself.
I didn't pick a score.
No, you just said yes, but you said New York in a close, low-scoring ball game, which is what we've had so far. Second and 9. New York's ball on their own 21-yard line. Joe Namath, the quarterback. To Matt Snell. Snell on the right side. Fights his way for 5, 6, 7 yards. He was hit by Jerry Logan at the 25. Picked up a couple of more to the 27-yard line.
And the Colts use up another one of their timeouts, stopping the clock. But you can only do that so many times, and they will run out of timeouts here. Very important now if the Jets could possibly pick up a first down. It's 3rd and 4. They could possibly pick up a first down. Baltimore would have no more timeouts, and the Jets would be able just to keep the ball on the ground and run the clock out. But they have to pick up this first down in order to do that.
And it was the blocking of Emerson Boozer that opened the way for Matt Snell. 3rd down, 4 yards to go. The officials have spotted the ball just outside the 26-yard line. 2 minutes and 8 seconds remaining. The Colts have, as George pointed out, one timeout remaining. New York has possession, and they lead 16-7. Namath has completed 14 of 25 passes for 191 yards. Both of the touchdowns, both New York's and Baltimore's, coming on the ground. Jim Turner with 3 field goals. Namath to Snell. Snell on the right side, fighting with all of his strength at the 29 to the 30-yard line. Let's see where they mark the football. They started at the 20 following the touchback. He has to get to it. Just to the chalk mark. And timeout is called by Baltimore. Bob Talamini was the lead guard. The chains have not moved, and now they move. It is a first down for New York. There's timeout on the field with the score, New York 16 and Baltimore 7.
Ooh, score, get you new outrageous promises.
Promises.
Score, get you good-looking heads. Score, get you new outrageous promises.
Promises.
Ooh, get you good-looking heads.
Score doesn't promise to make you an all-star athlete or to change your love life. It just gives you good-looking hair. Use Score and a little water. It keeps your hair in place without looking greasy. Score doesn't make outrageous promises. It just gives you good-looking hair.
Use it with water. It mixes with water. Score gives you good-looking hair.
Promises.
Ooh, could you go look at that?
This is Charlie Jones now with George Ratterman, as Pat Summerall, who's been with us throughout our broadcast, has gone down to the Baltimore locker room for part of the post-game ceremonies and interviews. Kyle Root will be in the New York Jets locker room. We hope to be able to join both of them in the postgame. As New York leading by a score of 16-7, now with 1 minute and 54 seconds officially remaining in the third annual Super Bowl. The Jets going for the first victory for an American Football League team. They're only a minute and 54 seconds away. George Sauer coming to this side. Don Maynard goes to the far side. Joe Namath is the quarterback. Emerson Boozer and Matt Snell are the setbacks. Namath to Snell, right side. He has 3 yards on the play to the 33-yard line. It'll be second down and 7, and it was Winston Hill and Bob Talamini opening the hole, Mike Curtis, Bubba Smith, and Billy Ray Smith closing the hole.
And now the clock continues to run. The Baltimore Colts have no more timeouts, so the Jets can take their full time here, probably run out the clock without having to turn the ball over. Charlie, we noticed an interesting thing. George Sauer was lined up wide to the left that time. The play went to the right. As soon as the ball was snapped, he just took off and ran over there and trailed the ball carrier, presumably looking for a fumble, seeing if there was going to be a fumble or anything. He wanted to be in on it.
Second and 7, 33-yard line. Jets control leading. They're in their own territory. Mathis has replaced Emerson Boozer. And, of course, Namath using up the clock that George was talking about. He took more than the allotted 30 seconds, and so now with 108, 5-yard penalty for delay of game. And that will stop the clock. With a penalty, the ball goes to the 28-yard line. And it is second and 13, we'll call it.
It stops the clock, but only after the Jets have used up their full time, so they don't mind the 5 yards, and they want to use their full time, and of course the clock will start again now as soon as the ball is snapped.
Matt Snell. Snell has a yard to the 29-yard line, and the clock will continue on its march. Billy Ray Smith at the bottom of the stack for Baltimore. Now with 56 seconds remaining.
And we noticed a chant in the stands before. We're number one, presumably from American Football League fans here in Miami.
Third down and 11. Third down and 11, 43 seconds remaining in the ballgame. New York leading at 16-7. Taking all of the time they possibly can as they slowly break the huddle. 33 seconds remaining. 30 seconds remaining. And again, the Jets use up too much time now with 22 seconds remaining. And it is a third down situation, so the ball game is actually over. They will come out. Namath will take the ball and fall on it. That will start the clock and time will run out. The New York Jets have won it. New York still in the huddle. Now they break. As Sauer comes to this side. Maynard to the other side, and Joe Namath is the quarterback. 22 seconds remaining. Namath gives to Matt Snell. Snell on a sweep to this side is to the 25-27-yard line. Rather than falling on the ball and running out the clock, O.C. Austin made the tackle, and Baltimore had one more timeout. We miscalculated, George. That was the 2-minute mark, and there are 15 seconds remaining. So the Colts now taking their third timeout. With 15 seconds remaining, the ball is at the 27-yard line of New York. The Colts, however, in 15 seconds, must score a touchdown and a field goal. It can be done. It has been done. Curley Johnson will be punting. The clock will start as soon as the ball is snapped. The Colts do not have any timeouts.
Timmy Brown back to run this one back, and he's one of the better ones in the business.
Here's the snap to Curley. Strong rush. He gets it off. Timmy Brown comes over, fields it, steps out of bounds at the 34-yard line. That stops the clock now with 8 seconds remaining. So Baltimore has possession on their own 34-yard line, first down, with 8 seconds remaining, and they trail 16-7. Unitas will be the quarterback. Johnny Sample has been replaced. No, he's not. He's just playing deep. We looked at it normally, and he is way back. He's 25 yards deep. Unitas back to throw. Overthrows Willie Richardson. 4 seconds remaining. Sample goes up to Willie Richardson to shake his hand. But there's still 4 seconds remaining as the clock is stopped, as the press and the players on the far side congratulate Weebu Bank and the New York Jets. 4 seconds remaining in the ballgame. New York 16, Baltimore 7. This will be the first time that an American Football League team has defeated a National Football League team in the Super Bowl. Green Bay winning the first two. The New York Jets winning the third. Answering all the questions of the future of the Super Bowl. Unitas back to throw. Looping one. It is complete to Willie Richardson. Johnny Sample makes the final tackle of the ballgame. As time runs out, the Jets have won the Super Bowl. That is the end of the game with the final score. New York 16, Baltimore 7. We'll be back in a moment with a final wrap-up of today's game.
This is Joe Garagiola with a question for you veterans. You got any doubts about your future? Then move into the field of the future, computers. Soon everything's going to be computerized, and it's starting now, with 200,000 job openings for our computer programmers, the guys who make $10,000, $12,000, $15,000 a year and more giving instructions to the computer. Now, to learn computer programming, all you need is a high school education, and you learn right in your own home, in your spare time, with the American Computer Institute, approved for veteran training. A special teaching process makes the learning faster and easier than you'd imagine. Get the American Computer Institute's free booklet and aptitude test. In New York, call now, OR7-1700. That's OR7-1700. Or write Computer, WNBC Radio, New York 10020. That's Computer, WNBC Radio, New York.
George, they said that it couldn't be done, but it has been here at the third Super Bowl. The New York Jets defeating the Baltimore Colts by a score of 16-7.
And you try to pick out the hero or the one responsible for this win. You just can't do it, because all of the New York Jets played magnificently this afternoon. They have to beat what's really a great football team, the Baltimore Colts, this year. To beat them by a score of 16-7, they played well on offense, controlled the ball amazingly well against this great Baltimore defense. But the defensive unit of the New York Jets not only played well all afternoon, but came up with the big play so frequently when Baltimore got down close to the goal line.
Before we go any further, and we'll spend some more time talking about the ballgame, I do want to thank Pete Rozelle, the Commissioner of Professional Football, Jim Kinsel, the Executive Director, Bob Cochran, the Broadcast Coordinator, Don Weiss, the Public Relations Director for the New York Jets, Coach Weeb Eubank and his staff, Frank Ramos, the Publicity Director for the Baltimore Colts, Coach Don Shula and his staff, Jim Walkers, Publicity Director, Ernie Seiler, Executive Vice President of the Orange Bowl, and they've all added to the pageantry, to the assistance that they have given us, to another spectacle in the history of professional football. But as you mentioned, you almost have to say that it was all New York Jets. They led at the end of the first quarter by a score, rather at the end of the first half by a score of 7-0. After three quarters, they led by a score of 13-0. And for a moment, George, it looked as if the Jets were actually going to shut out the Baltimore Colts.
Could have, not too easily, but they could have done it. The Jets a little bit jittery perhaps going into the game. I think that was apparent in the early stages of the first quarter. But they got over that in a hurry, particularly when they scored first. When they got ahead 7-0, then it became a different New York Jets team. You could see their confidence just rose with each play in this ball game. And by the end of the game, you might say they were completely in control.
Matt Snell scoring the first touchdown for the New York Jets from 4.5 yards out. Jim Turner contributed three field goals from 32, 31, and 9 yards away. And for Baltimore, an 80-yard touchdown drive with Jerry Hill going in from about 0.5 yard out. Some unofficial statistics, and we hope, of course, to have the final official ones for you. Joe Namath completed 14 of 25 passes for 191 yards. There was not a touchdown pass in the ballgame. Unitas completed 8 of 21, and Earl Morrow completed 6 of 17. In first downs, the Jets had 20 to Baltimore's 13. Tom Matte, picking up 122 yards in 14 carries, was the leading rusher in the ballgame, and that becomes a Super Bowl record. He also set a record with the longest gain from scrimmage, and Matt Snell had 116 yards in 30 carries. So he had quite a workout.
Great day by Matt Snell. Of course, Namath had a good day on offense for the Jets, as we mentioned frequently during the afternoon. He did a magnificent job of picking up these Baltimore defenses, and Baltimore is a team that likes to stun around to try to confuse the other quarterback. He just did a tremendous job.
All right, now let's join Jim Simpson and the president of the American Football League, Milt Woodard.
Milt Woodard, and Milt, you've had a lot of things said about the American Football League before this afternoon. Now I'm sure you would like to say something.
Well, all I can tell you is, personally, and as far as the American Football League concerned, this is our very greatest moment. I think one of the most outstanding, beautiful moments in sports. And this team, actually, Jim, the thing that kind of makes me feel real good about this is that Baltimore was the super team of the National Football League, and we had two and three pretty good football teams, like Oakland, which just barely lost to New York. And here, we dominated this game, and I think our league, we won the preseason games, and our league has arrived. I'm just as exuberant as anything.
I'm sure you are, Milt. Tell me, we did win, meaning the American Football League, speaking to you now, 13 of those games in preseason. Honestly, the commissioner's office and the president of the American Football League, did you personally know what a deal if the Jets had a chance to take those Colts? Nobody else did. 18 to 21 point favorites the Colts were.
I'll be frank about it. I hoped it'd be close. I thought that we would. I actually thought that we would not make it. But I did feel, my confidence started to build up when I talked to Namath. I gave him an award on Thursday, and he says, "We're going to win." And I saw Weave Eubank, and he says, "Look, we're going to make you a real proud of us. We're going to win." And I think I went up in those stands and with real great hope. And now I'm just doggone happy.
Milt Woodard, thank you very much. Now let's go upstairs.
All right, that was Jim Simpson talking with Milt Woodard, the president of the American Football League. And, of course, George, he expressed the jubilation, I'm sure, that will be shown this evening in Miami by all of the owners, the men who started this league some 9 years ago. And who would have thought that in that short a period of time we would have arrived at this type of a tremendous football spectacle.
Well, it goes without saying that everybody associated with the American League will be extremely happy tonight. But, you know, I think this game and its outcome with the American League winning the third Super Bowl game now is good for all of professional football, really, because people are beginning to say that the National League was just too superior.
All right, George, now let's go to Kyle Rhode in the Jet locker room.
Eubank is just discussing with the rest of the team, giving the plans for the next few hours. And, Coach, we do, Eubank.
Coach, it was a great win. It's a great bunch of players. We have a great organization. Our coaches are just did fine. I have a great group of assistant coaches, Kyle. Well, I know you do, and I know they've all worked hard. And Commissioner Pete Rozelle, I know he has a great prize to present to you, Weave, for a great, great season, a great win over the Baltimore Colts. Commissioner Rozelle, your presentation.
That was a tremendous and great poised effort by your ball club today. And it's obvious that the New York Jets have taken forward tremendous strides on behalf of the entire American football league. Congratulations.
Thank you, Pete. We beat a fine football team, Pete.
It was a great one today.
Fine, thank you. And, of course, the president of the New York Jets, Mr. Phil Islin. I know you're delighted with your team's performance.
Well, I sure am. This proves that it's a great team. It proves it's a great league. And I assure you that when you're a champion, it means you beat the best. And we beat the best today. Thank you, Kyle, very much.
We'll be back here in the Jets locker room in just a moment for more of the post-game activities. We'll be back.
And as you could tell, as Kyle Rhode was visiting with Weave Eubank and Pete Rozelle with the trophy presentation, that it is pandemonium in the Jets locker room.
Just as you would have expected, I think.
Right. Well, it's always that way in the locker room of a champion, and that's what the Jets have proven themselves. And I think, in a way, the point spread, in a way, worked to their advantage. Paul Rochester made the statement earlier in the week that twice during the season we were 19-point favorites, and we lost both to Denver and Buffalo, and this time we're a 19-point underdog. He said, you can be just a little bit looser.
You know, I think Commissioner Rozelle established a good point there, too, when he mentioned the poise that they showed this afternoon. Being an underdog, you know, a lot of people thought, well, perhaps they could win, but on a fluke, or if Namath hit a couple of long throws, something such as that. It wasn't that type of game. They went out and controlled this ball game, controlled the ball against the Baltimore Colts, which nobody thought they could do because the Colts are such a great defensive team.
This is something that Pat Summerall mentioned in the second half, that he had seen Baltimore several times, that he had never seen anybody cut him up, both on offense and defense. Now let's go back to Kyle in the locker room. He's talking with Larry Grantham.
Spots of all time.
Kyle, without a doubt, it's the happiest moment of my life for us to be the first AFL team to ever win the Super Bowl. It's just not any words that can possibly express it. We have got a great ball club, and although we were underdogs early in the week, I think we had something to prove out there today. The Colts played a good, fine football game. They got a good ball club. But we had a little determination today that they weren't going to shut us out, and we thought we were going to shut them out. That's the way the ball game tried to go.
Larry, was there a possible chance that any of your men were a little wary, a little fearful of the Colts because of all that publicity?
Anytime you see a team that's 18.5-point underdog, and you see that they've won 15 games in one season, there's not any doubt about it. You've got to be a little fearful of them. You've got to be a little leery of what's going on. So I think the first series they had the ball, we weren't playing our ball game, but then I think after that we started to come alive. And even late in the ball game, we were ahead 16-7. We were just trying to keep them from getting behind us, getting deep, and getting the easy one. As long as they didn't work for it, we felt like we'd still come out on top in the ball game.
Larry, a great win. Congratulations.
Thanks.
I know you have a great offseason.
Thank you.
And now let's go out to the field and Jim Simpson.
It is not because they've got a lot of money to spend, but I think these girls have a lot of pride in their husbands. These are the wives of some of the New York Jets. And your name?
Kay Turner.
Kay Turner, and your husband Jim did a pretty fair job today, didn't
they? Well, they all did a pretty fair job today.
Very proud of
them.
Right.
Leah Herman. Dave Herman.
Dave Herman.
He played Bubba.
Played against Bubba. I told you they're proud.
Wendy Hudson. Jim Hudson's wife.
Jim Hudson. How about you back there?
Mrs. Bill Baird.
Mrs. Bill Baird had a great secondary, had a great day today.
Thank you.
Mrs. Larry Grantham.
And Larry made a few tackles out there, didn't he?
Mrs. John Elliott.
John Elliott had a good day at the pass rack.
Mrs. Paul Rochester.
Mrs. Paul Rochester. What are you girls going to do with the money?
Oh, my goodness, you would ask me.
And you are.
I'm Mrs. Curly Johnson.
You got it straight.
I didn't even
think of my name. How about you back there?
Mrs. Mike D'Amato.
Mrs. Mike D'Amato.
Ray Hayes.
You'll get it out. Don't worry, girl.
Mrs. Steve Thompson. Mrs. Ralph Baker.
Mrs. Dottie Hampton.
William Hampton.
Mrs. George Sauer.
Mrs. George Sauer.
What
Mrs.
Say?
Mark Smolensky. Mrs. Don Maynard.
You paused for a moment. It looked like you weren't quite sure.
Mrs. Jeff Snedeker.
Girls, I know that you're quite proud of your husbands. And is there one here that would act as a spokesman? I tell you what, we're not going to do it right now because we're going to go to Kyle right back in the Jet dressing room.
And we're talking with the husband of one of those beautiful ladies, Jim Turner. 3 field goals today. Jim, I know you were concerned going into the World Championship game whether you'd still have it today.
Well, I'm very concerned because the season's a long season. I'm quite tired, and they have a tremendous field goal rush. But to everybody in America, welcome to the AFL and the New York Jets, because we are now the world champions. And I'd like to say everybody, to all my friends in Crockett, California, hello.
Okay, Jim, great game, great effort. And Joe Namath, the big man, of course, who put himself on the spot. Joe, it was a fantastic ball game, young man.
Thank you, Cal. Anytime you win, it's a good game.
You feel loose?
I feel loose now. I felt loose during the game. You know, there's a couple things I'd like to say. One, I want to congratulate the entire AFL. I think a lot of people were surprised today. A lot of our critics. The whole AFL played with anybody in the world. And right now, we're supposedly better than anybody in the world. I feel that way. I felt that way all along. Baltimore Colts are a fine football team. And I'm not trying to be overly humble or humble at all. But they could have had a couple of interceptions from me. They dropped the ball. A couple of good plays. Of course, I was throwing the ball bad. I wasn't throwing good. But all those people, 42-13, they're going to beat us? Really? Didn't give the AFL a chance at all. Not just the Jets, the AFL.
The final score once again, New York 16, Baltimore 7. This is Charlie Jones with George Raderman and Pat Summerall from the Orange Bowl in Miami. Our spotters were Henry Barrow and Jim Rupert, our statistician Marty Rosen. Produced by Parker Gibbs, this has been an NBC Sports presentation.
Football is brought to you on NBC.
straight ahead with Charlie Brown's traffic reports, weekdays 3 to 7 p.m. WNBC Radio 660 and WNBC FM New York.
Super Bowl wrap-up brought to you by HFC, the company that says, before you sign on the dotted line, know what your loan will cost. That's Household Finance. I'm Frank Musser with the wrap-up on today's Super Bowl, and golly, what can you say? As far as Jet fans are concerned, they might see the sun rising in the west tomorrow and setting in the east. They might even see Joe Namath get a haircut. What would be more unusual than that game this afternoon? What a football game it was for the New York Jets and the American Football League. Matt Snell scored the touchdown that put the Jets out in front, and they stayed out in front. First half ended 7-0 on Snell's touchdown and Jim Turner's extra point. Then in the second half, Jim Turner kicked 3 field goals from the 32, the 31, and the 9-yard line. And finally, the Colts, behind 16-0, rallied for one touchdown as John Unitas came off the bench, replaced Earl Morrill, engineered an 80-yard drive that saw Jerry Hill go over for the touchdown, and Lou Michaels' extra point gave the Colts their last point in the game. The Jets winning it 16-7, picking up 20 first downs, controlling the ball game almost from the start. I'll have more to say about the game in just a moment. You say you got all the bills you can afford and you got the money to pay them? Then someone hands you that extra bill you can't afford. And that's when you should visit Household Finance for a bill payer loan. With an HFC bill payer loan, you can pay off all of your bills, installment contracts, and other money obligations at once. Then you'll repay HFC in a sensible amount each month that's less than your present monthly total. Household says never borrow money needlessly. But if you've got more bills than you can handle, visit the company that gives you the facts in dollars and cents. The company where, before you sign on the dotted line, you'll know what your loan will cost. That's Household Finance. For a large or small loan, call HFC in New York, New Jersey, or Connecticut. See your phone book for the Household Finance office nearest you. Well, it was a rather amazing first half as the Jets outplayed the Colts. In fact, I think the Jets outplayed the Colts all afternoon long, both on offense and defense. They outscored them 7-0 in that first half, the first time the Colts had been shut out in the first half of a ball game all season. The sellout crowd of better than 75,000 saw Jet quarterback Joe Namath prove what many have said, that he's the best quarterback in the pros today as he mixed his plays, passing and running game, and picked the Colt blitzing defense apart. The Jet defensive secondary shared the heroics with Namath in the first half and with running back Matt Snell. As Johnny Sample intercepted one of Earl Morrill's passes, Jim Hudson picked off another, and Randy Beverly also had one in the end zone. A gusty wind blowing across the field also entered into the game in the first half as 3 field goal attempts were missed. Lou Michaels of the Colts missed field goals from the 26 and again from the 46. Jim Turner, the AFL's leading field goal kicker and leading scorer during the regular season, also missed from the 41. The first quarter was scoreless as the Jets won the toss and elected to receive. On their first play from scrimmage, the Jets surprised the Colts and yours truly when they moved left guard Bob Talamini over to the right side, leading only Winston Hill to stop Bracy and Fred Miller. It worked as Matt Snell gained 17 yards on 2 carries for a first down. Then Namath was unsuccessful in sending his backs out as receivers, and Curly Johnson punted 44 yards, turning the ball over to the Colts on their 27. It didn't do the Colts any good. They weren't able to score with it. The Colts did control the ball for 5.5 minutes, and Larry Grantham turned in a big play when he blitzed to drop Morrill at the line of scrimmage, being the 19. It was then that Michaels missed his first field goal attempt. When the Jets got the ball back, they seemed to settle down. Their offensive line gave Joe Namath good protection. But in 6 plays, he can move the team only to the 41. Johnson punted to the Colts, and the Colts put the ball in play on the 42. Morrill found Mackey in the open with a pass, but the big tight end dropped the ball, and that plagued the Colts this afternoon. Mackey dropping a pass. There was also an interception attempt by Jerry Logan that was dropped. Had Logan been able to hold on to the ball? Well, he could have gone all the way. Getting the ball back, the Jets scored. They put the ball in play at their 20-yard line. The Jets moved for the touchdown. Matt Snell carried 6 times as the Jets moved the 80 yards in 12 plays. Snell carrying over for the touchdown from the 4-yard line. All told, Snell gained 35 yards in those six carries, and it was surprising to me. I've watched the Colts for quite a few years. It was surprising to see Snell successfully test the right side of the Colts line, running around Bracy and Fred Miller. On the touchdown drive, Namath also completed passes to Sauer, Mathis, and Snell, even though being under a strong Baltimore blitz on just about every play. As we said, he saw that blitz coming. He was able to pick it apart very well. So the Jets led 7-0 at the end of the first half, and we'll have a word or two about the second half in just a moment.
Never borrow money needlessly, but when you need to borrow, trust HFC.
If you're about to borrow for the first time, it's important to choose a company you can trust. Well, every year, more than 2.5 million people trust Household Finance, because HFC is the only company that says never borrow money needlessly, and because HFC tells you the cost before you borrow. Looking for a company where you can borrow with confidence? See Household Finance.
Never borrow money needlessly, but when you need to borrow, trust HFC.
That's Household Finance. There are over 1,500 HFC offices in the U.S. and Canada. See your phone book for the address of the office nearest you.
Yes, for a large or small loan, call HFC in New York, New Jersey, or Connecticut. See your phone book for the Household Finance office nearest you. Well, the Jets got a break early in the third quarter of the football game. They kicked off to the Colts. Tim Brown returned the kickoff from the goal line to the 25. But then on the first play of scrimmage in the second half, after Morrow handed off to him, Tom Matte fumbled at the 33-yard line when hit by Biggs, and Baker recovered for the Jets. They went eight plays, moving the ball to the 26-yard line. Then Jim Turner came in to kick the first of his three field goals from the 30, and the Jets were out in front by a score of 10-0. The Colts, again, were unable to move the football. The Jets got it back at their own 32-yard line. They went 45 yards in 10 plays. And again, they called on the foot of Jim Turner to get them on the scoreboard. He kicked a field goal from the 31, and the Jets were leading 13-0. Just before Turner kicked that field goal, the Jets had some anxious moments because Namath was hit hard by the Colts' Fred Miller. He had to leave the ball game. Babe Parilli went in at quarterback. Parilli was in for only one play, an incompleted pass. Of course, he held the ball for Turner. But then, after the Colts got the kickoff back following the field goal, Unitas came in at quarterback for Baltimore. He had no more luck than Morrow did. He was unable to move the team. They had to give it back to the Jets. The Jets went 61 yards in eight plays, moving the ball down to the two-yard line. At the two, Mathis tried to carry over. He was stopped by Dennis Gaubatz, and again it was Jim Turner to come in and kick, and the Jets were leading the Colts 6-0 on Turner's third field goal. The Colts, as we said, went 80 yards in 15 plays for their touchdown with Jerry Hill going over for it, John Unitas engineering the drive. Unitas was his old self on the two-minute drill and so forth, but it was, I think, quite obvious that his arm is still bothering him. He was not able to throw long. He was not able to throw deep. And a lot of his sideline passes were wobbly. He seemed to be off his timing, which is only natural. He had played a very, very little bit this year. So, and summing it up, what everybody said was just about impossible turned out to be possible this afternoon, and it was a great day, I know, for Joe Namath. Namath has taken a lot of abuse. They call him Broadway Joe. They call him a hippie. They call him a long hair. But I'll tell you something. He's one heck of a football player, and he proved it this afternoon. So did his entire offensive line. You have to give them tremendous credit. Tremendous credit going to those men. The defense, well, as we said, the defense teamed up and played just as well as the offense. It seemed that Namath had time to throw the ball. He followed his game plan. When he needed the yardage on the ground, he gave the ball to Matt Snell. Snell gained 116 yards and 30 carries. Tom Matte, incidentally, of the Colts, was the leading ground gainer with 122 and a record-setting 58 yards on one carry. Well, the Jets won it by a score of 16-7, and the Pro Football Championship is in New York. Super Bowl wrap-up has been brought to you by Household Finance. Remember, if you need money for any worthwhile purpose, see the folks at HFC, America's oldest and largest consumer finance company. I'm Frank Musser.
World news, local news, sports news, business news, all the news. Weeknights, 7 to 7:45. WNBC, Radio 660, and WNBC-FM, New York.
In the city, I just never put them on.
I'm not worried. If I can get a hold of the wheel, I'm not going to get hurt.
It's too much trouble.
Almost anyone can find an excuse for not wearing safety belts. What's your excuse?
Good evening. I'm John Wolfe, NBC News, and this is a rather abbreviated version of Conference New York. My guest this evening is Mr. Haskell Lazar, director of the New York chapter of the American Jewish Committee and the Institute of Human Relations in New York City. Mr. Lazar is a native of Omaha, Nebraska, and has been in the city for the past 3 years. He's been in community relations work since 1941. Mr. Lazar, welcome to Conference New York, and let's get started immediately. Beginning with Mayor Lindsay's State of the City message yesterday, in which he discussed racial and religious antagonisms which surfaced during the school dispute in New York City. Could I ask you to comment on that?
I think the mayor called the shot right. There is indeed a polarization in New York City today. It was exacerbated during the school strike, and I think, however, that it was there for some time before that.
What needs to be done now to work ahead?
Well, obviously, we have to heal the rifts that have occurred between various people in the community. And in the process of doing that, we also have to reconstitute a system of public education that is credible for everyone and deserving of support for everyone in the community.
How deep do you feel these antagonisms go?
I think the antagonisms are probably quite deep in the community right now. On the one hand, you have a social distance between Negroes and whites, which has always existed. And with any kind of a social distance, you always have a tendency of having some fear of the unknown. On the other hand, you have because of the social distance, a feeling on the part of the blacks toward the whites, or at least a good part of the blacks, that they have in fact been shortchanged in education and many other ways, and therefore they have a suspicion. Now, until we can overcome the fear on one hand and the suspicion on the other, we've got a problem in New York City for quite some time.
Do you think that this will have a major effect on the decentralization of the city schools?
I think it certainly will. It already has. And I think that we will continue to see some temper displayed from various sources. Unfortunately, what also has happened is that people on both sides have lost their tempers in the process and have substituted emotion for reason. This is particularly true, I think, during the school strike in Ocean Hill and in Two Bridges and in IOS 201 today. Many of the things that have come to the fore need not have occurred if people of goodwill and reason would have gotten together to talk things over outside of the public eye. And that's been one of the major problems, and that is that every time an extremist opens his mouth, there's a...